like to purchase a patron of Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I was licking jelly off of my boyfriend's penis, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm turning into my mother, you know? It's like, those clues, you know? That was becoming our parents. It's scary.
Big. Bang, 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 bang.
By the way, everybody who calls, you got a shot at a Fish Lips gift certificate because I found them in my briefcase. Frank, good morning. Welcome to the Scott Cox Show.
Morning.
Good morning, Frank. I'm great.
No,
I had to call to tell you that I'm really enjoying listening to your show.
Thank you.
I'm a transplant. I grew up in New York, lived in Washington, D.C. for the last 20 years.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, and I just moved out here, and I have to say that you're doing a bang-up job here. And back in D.C., all we had was the Rob Spiewak show, and it was horrible.
Spiewak's got his own show? Yeah, right. There you go. Thank you, Frank. 326-1410 is the phone number, 1-800-640-KERN, star 1410 on your cell phone. I can't explain the Spiewak thing. It would absolutely take too long.
From the Bob Barker Studio.
Wow.
Come on down. Let's party.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, oh, so good. Well, hi, everybody.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Joe.
Yeah. Are you playing to the rhythm?
Yes, I am. I know that's cheap.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, here's Ed.
Here's Don and Mike.
Hello. Thank you, Ed, and hello, little brains. We have little brains, too. I am recovered. I am feeling fit as a fiddle.
Oh, good.
I am ready for love.
And I'm an alcoholic.
No, I am not
that kind of recovery.
Reevaluating all that, incidentally, thinking about my lifestyle and exactly what I'm going to do. I don't like the way I felt.
Are we up to that point already?
No, it's not because of the booze. I have a cold. That's all I have.
Yeah.
Or I might have something more severe. I don't know. I'll get to that in a second.
All right.
I've got a lot that I need to cover in this early segment of the show. This is the Don and Mike Show. Our phone number is 877-365-3636. I am here with my good buddies, Buzz Burbank.
Hi.
And Rob Spiewak.
Ahoy.
And Don has one more day off. He will be back tomorrow. We look forward to that. Very excited to have him back on the show tomorrow. And I do, before we get started here, want to send out a little message to my good friends at Comcast Cable.
Huh.
Now, would you say, guys, would you say that seriously after what we've been through in America with the technology of the Internet that... many of us would consider it as vital as, say, telephone service.
It's a lifeline, absolutely.
If not more so.
At this point, much more important than telephone service because you have a cell phone.
Yeah, it's up there with electricity and telephone service and all of that.
Do everything online.
And you know when I'm doing what I'm doing here, there's a lot more communication that's required of me, and I do my communication every day with John Norman.
Right.
And that communication is done via. The Internet.
Electronic mail.
Yes, electronic mail, which I made popular years ago.
Instant mail.
It's essential.
It is.
And, you know, I have a little side job that I require, and I get communication from that side job.
Look around, Cafe.
Wasn't looking for a plug, but I get my communication from them
right.
Also. And because I think, well, now I'm foolish enough to do this. that I pay my bills through that wonderful internet as well.
We depend on it day to day.
I shop on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I communicate with loved ones on it.
Right. Don't forget entertainment.
Entertainment.
Porn.
Porn, of course.
Yeah.
A small part of what I do each and every day is go onto the internet and take a look at that. That newsfilter.org, which used to be a news site, and now it's actually become a porn site.
It's still sort of a news site.
But I somehow have not been able to delete it from my computer. I would just like to say, after as we approach 72 hours with no internet cable,
wow!
I would like to say, Comcast, please, I'm not going to scream, I'm not going to yell, but for all the people in my little hamlet of Manassas, and I live in the old part of Manassas, you know, we call it the old town. They have those,
it's
you know.
Oldie towny, isn't it?
Old towny. It's ye old
ye
old,
old
town.
Sure.
Right? You know, I just like to say, guys, and especially after I have my personal contact number that I spoke to today, and I saved it in my cell phone. I thought I was brilliant to do this.
Very good.
And his comment to me, my friend over there, my friend Reggie, and now
Will
I know.
Will he be your friend in the digital age?
No, it's a different outfit, I think.
Oh, you did?
Oh no!
Now hold
like
on.
You
plus,
said I could.
Plus, you hurt Mike.
Hold on! Stop it! Oh. Side hurting, must need baby blues.
I like every square inch of my glorious naked body.
Now, I have my contact friend Reggie, who is, you know, Reggie is seemed like a very nice guy, and I'm sure he is a very nice guy. However, Reggie gave me his number and said, anything you need.
Oh, good.
You know, if you got problems in the future, call me. So, Reggie, since you didn't call me back, and since you did tell me you were going to look into it, uh-huh. And now it is showtime, and I am going now into my third solid day with not having the internet, which I rely on. I'd like to say, please, guys, get your act together, because really it's starting to get out of line. And I know a lot of people that are in the same boat as I am. And, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, the business that my girlfriend's in, they've been out of internet, and they do teleconferencing via the internet, which they charge money to people for.
Well, see, here's the problem. In the section you live in, they use ye olde cable.
That's it's
going to take a while to fix it.
Well, they're doing all this crap buzz in my neighborhood. I don't know what it is. They're doing crap where they put flags in your front yard.
Mm-hmm. I have a flag in my front yard.
Well, they put flags in my front yard, and I said, it's you know, my first feeling, and I got excited about this, Rob. You know, I just missed that, you know. I'm so glad that I have learned to slow down.
You caught up with you, though.
I would have gone right by that, yes. We know about the flag in your front yard.
You still have the wooden modem?
the wooden control modem. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air. Lots to go over. We got a lot of TV to talk about and a lot of intern to talk about and a lot of good stuff. But you know, I feel like Charles Grodin. But I don't have cable. Thank you very much.
The end.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
Hello, Radio God.
How are you?
Well, remember, like, a couple months ago, you were talking about Robert the Angry Mail Guy?
Yes, Robert the Angry Mailman.
I like that.
Postage man.
RKA, as you like to call
him. Well, I am an African-American, about 14, and I think your show is hilarious.
How old are you?
14.
Not old enough.
You're very young to be calling, and you called because you were motivated by hearing Robert on the show?
Yeah.
Well, what would you like to add? I'll take this call from a 14-year-old. Even though this this show is traditionally not designed for children. You're aware of that, and you are a child being 14 and all.
Right. Yeah, but the show is still great.
What?
The show is still great.
The show is so great. Well, I would only hope that on occasion when you're listening, you do have some sort of supervision. Do you normally listen around adults, or do you listen by yourself?
I listen by myself.
You listen by yourself. Are you a latchkey kid?
Nope.
Not a latchkey kid. Are you doing?
You mean when you come home, there's a parent every day?
Oh, yeah.
And what is your first name, young man?
Stefan.
LaFawn?
LaFawn.
LaFawn, how do you spell that?
S-T-E-P-H-O-N.
I forgot how to spell it after this.
Stefan.
Stefan.
Oh, Stefan.
Stefan. Got it.
All right, Stefan, what can we do for you?
Like Stefan Baldwin.
What?
And remember, also remember where you guys were talking about Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And did you hear what Clinton Portis said about it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we might have something coming up later on that, but you are stealing the thunder. You are a newsbreaker, and we don't need that.
You don't have education, and you can't hardly get a job.
Somebody on the show has that. I found that out before the show, that we've got something about Clinton Portis and dog fighting, right? A little bit later on.
We have the internet here, so that we know.
We've got internet here, thank God, not in Manassas.
Internet.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, you're on the air. Hello.
By yourself, you're a latchkey kid.
Hello, turn your radio down, sir. Or just hang up. That's easier. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Mike, don't be a quitter.
What do you mean a quitter? Alcohol.
You quit drinking. You quit drinking. I'm the guy. Don't let.
I'm not. Now listen. Drinking. Now wait. I listen. You know what I do with my friends here when I come on the air and I've got like a little. It's not that I'm going to quit drinking. It's just that when you have a head cold, and that I know it's coincidental that that this head cold came along at the same time when I had myself a bit of a weekend in Atlantic City, New Jersey. No, I'm not.
You started when you lost money. You can't lose that much money.
I lose money every time I gamble, and there's a lesson for everybody. But don't worry, I'm not going to be a quitter.
Think of the power you have. If you quit,
quit, I'm going to cry.
Okay, well, don't cry. I'm not going to quit. All right, count on it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
I work for Comcast.
Okay.
And?
Yes, I'm waiting. I'm sitting here patiently waiting.
Obviously not hard enough.
You're waiting for your service?
What?
You're waiting for your service to be turned back on?
See, this might be the problem. You are you listening to the show today?
Yes, I am.
Did you hear what I said at the beginning of the show?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so would you concur from that I am actually waiting for my service to be turned on? And I'm really, really trying to keep it in my pants.
You
here.
Are. You're doing
I'm
a good
really
job.
Trying not to go over the top. I'm because really,
very level-headed.
I have had nice conversations with these people before, but no, yes, I am waiting for my service, and it is kind of driving me nuts now.
I can understand your pain.
Well, I know you can understand my pain. How about some hard solutions here? Do we have a solution for my pain?
Any ideas?
Well,
no, you don't.
We have. Hopefully, we have some solutions coming down the pipe here. As soon as we.
This is very similar to a real Comcast call here.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, we got some coming down the pike here.
She'll be coming around the corner when she comes. She'll be coming around the corner when she comes.
You can tell I'm reading from the script, right?
Yes, yeah, okay, get out of here. Let's take a couple more calls, and then we're going to talk about my my wonderful evening last night and the condition of my girlfriend. Hello, Donna Mike Show, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling. I want to make a comment about Man Cow.
Okay, go ahead. What's your comment about Man Cow?
I was surfing YouTube the other night, and I was watching. They had a bit on there by Glenn Beck, and there was a lady on there. She was an advocate for free speech. And she was commenting on the whole Man Cow incident and how he was taking away from radio and away from other DJs. I just didn't know if you guys had a chance to surf the internet and check that out yourself.
No, but I mean, the fact is, I think
you see that on the internet this morning, Mike?
I didn't get a chance to when you mentioned anything on the internet. As far as Man Cow, we will have another Man Cow moment coming up on the show today.
Right.
You know, our position is very clear on Man Cow. We've said it before. We will have a tape of his fabulous exploits and what he sends out to garner his new listening base that he's looking for. You know, Man Cow, here's the disagreement you have with the Don and Mike Show. The fact is, you can change your act, you can modify your act, you can do anything you want with your career. It's when you stop, when you start stepping on other disc jockeys' necks for this thing, that's where I have a problem, that's where Don has a problem, and that's where you are a stain, and that's when we start to enjoy to make fun of you. That's what it's all about.
He pretends he doesn't have the past he's had.
No, and you know, he has done what we have done, what all guys that do what we do have done. The problem is now he's starting to yell at other DJs
right.
about it, and I think that's crap. Hello, Don and Mike Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to know what you thought of your pal Bill Devane's riveting performance on 24.
Oh, everybody's jumping the gun today.
We have a show. We have a plan.
Everybody's excited to get it. It's funny you that caller mentioned that. I believe, listen, I don't want to predict what's going to happen on the show because you never really know what's going to happen.
You never know.
But there may be. There may be an exclusive interview with the rap party and just several members of the cast, two of them in particular, that may have made themselves available, two of the more veteran members of the cast of 24 who might be chatting with our own Buzz Burbank later
on
the podcast.
You look forward to that.
You might see that happen. I'm not sure. Don and Mike Show, you're on the air. What's everybody anticipating? Are we that transparent, Buzz?
They kind of know what we're going to talk about, but they don't know what we're going to say.
No, they don't know what we're going to say. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Wow.
What?
Wow, that's me?
It's you.
Oh, wow. This is great.
Yes, I'm so glad that you're so happy and excited.
Hey, let me tell you something right now. I'm calling from Monterey, California.
Duh.
And,
that's so beautiful. You're so excited to be calling from Monterey.
Well, I just got out of the hospital.
Duh. Oh, really? What were you in the hospital for?
Appendicitis.
I'm sorry to hear that. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
How are you doing now? I didn't really mean that.
You know,
just kidding. I feel like we're becoming fast friends. What can I do for you?
Well, first of all, they put my appendicitis in a vial. I wanted to have it as a souvenir.
Now, hold on, sir. You just said they put your appendicitis in a vial. What
you
do you
mean?
Mean
your appendix?
Yeah, my appendix, yeah.
Ah, in a vial? I thought that would, like, be, you'd need a jar for that, wouldn't you?
You would for mine.
Well, yeah, what a, you know, they put it in a bottle with some kind of liquid, and it's sealed up. But what I want to ask you is, listen, I'm calling from Monterey, and our reception isn't really too good here, because I listen to you from the Sacramento station.
Duh. Yes, but the countryside is wonderful. It's lovely. Yeah, all right, so your reception's not too good. What can we do for you?
Well, the thing was, the last couple of days I was in the hospital, because all the machinery around my radio reception just was terrible. I couldn't hardly pick up anything.
Yes.
And I got all sorts of static and stuff.
Yeah, right, okay.
I'm really out of the loop here, and please be patient with me. Oh, get it, pun. Be patient with me. Where's Don Geronimo?
Don is, he will be back tomorrow. He is off today, and he will be back for tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
So by that time you're out of the hospital, you'll be able to hear it. Can you hear it loud and clear today?
You know, it is. It's the greatest thing in the world. I'm at home right now on my porch.
Can I ask how old you are, sir?
I'm 55 years old.
What medications do they have you on?
Actually, nothing anymore.
Okay.
They had me. Okay.
I'm thinking dementia.
Bye.
Enjoy the rest of the show. All right. Let me get to last night.
He was in a hospital surrounded by machinery.
As many of you might know, that I was suffering from a bit of an illness yesterday, and I didn't really realize that I was that sick until I got home last night.
You had the grip.
I had the grip, the flu, the bug, the creepy crud, creeping crud. I always thought creeping crud was herpes, but then Elvis gave it a different name.
It can be anything.
It can be a variety of things. And incidentally, Buzz, how big is an appendix anyway?
Oh, and normally I think they're about 3 inches long, but when they cut me open like a carp for my emergency surgery, they found mine was like 11 inches long.
What makes it more long than the others?
Are you listening, ladies?
Is it directly proportional to your...
finest genetics. That's the only thing we can come up with.
I recall being told once your appendix is like your pinky.
Right. Really?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so it could have gone in a vial.
Normally, yes. Not mine.
But not yours. Yours was 11 inches long?
Mine actually did need a mayonnaise jar.
Was that because it was all your messed up innards down there?
Yeah, I was all twisted up inside.
That expanded it?
I don't know what happened. It was just freakishly large.
Isn't the appendix useless?
Yes, it is.
I love it when we find a new medical fact out on the show. The Buzz had a freakishly long appendix.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
All right, so last night, leave here. I had medicated myself for the show. The only thing I had taken was a little of that Zicam nasal spray. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I'd also, earlier in the day, taken the Zicam little melt-in-your-mouth thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was doing okay. And I realized, you know, as Buzz and I discussed even before the show yesterday, you said something like, you know, DJ once said you can take a couple of Excedrin and you can get through any radio show.
If you have the flu and you think you're going to die and you're a DJ, if you take 3 Excedrin and a Coke, you're good for the show.
Yeah, and the thing is, I actually... You know, had my little Zicam, which cleared out my sinuses, and I actually felt really, really good. Uh-huh. And then you suddenly realize that when you're doing this, when you're on live radio, you get a little adrenaline rush that's happening.
Yep, yes.
And I think you saw me walking out to the car. I was crashing before I even got to the car, and all I wished for yesterday was a brief commute home. I just wanted it to be one of our good ones.
That would have been nice.
It really wasn't one of our good ones.
Didn't work out for you.
Matter of fact, might have been up there with one of our worst ones. It was so long to get home. There were accidents here. There were broken down vehicles here. This was about an hour for me, about an hour and 10 minutes to get home last night. And that's just about 20 minutes more than I needed to be in a vehicle.
Yeah.
And as I get out of the car last night, I'm walking into the house and walk out of the garage, and I'm like, jeez. It is. We must have a cold front that has come through here. This is amazing to me. And I run in like it's a February day. I run upstairs and I'm saying, oh, geez. And I say, Carla, man, what happened? I mean, she said, what? I said, is there like a cold front outside? It's freezing outside. She said, no, it's not. It's 73 degrees outside. I said, oh, dear. She said, would you like something to eat? I said, no, I'm not hungry. Feeling really chilly now. And I went upstairs, and within 5 seconds, I decided to get into my footy pajamas, which I wear to bed. I get into my regular sleepwear, which consists of boxer shorts.
Long red underwear. itchy, long red underwear with a trap.
The trap door that I have. And, of course, the Boston Red Sox logo prominently displayed between my nipples.
It is red.
And I do, this is right out of a malaria movie where Carla comes in and the dog, God love Beluga, the dog who never gives me the time of day, doesn't pay attention, hops up and is all over me. He's sniffing me and he's kind of licking my face. And I'm doing this thing.
He smells the death.
He smells the death. They do. Yeah. I swear to God. They're like that.
I know.
And I'm going, I'm doing the. Oh, and my teeth are literally chattering. I'm going, I just don't want. And Carla says, well, why don't you take some NyQuil? Well, you know me and NyQuil. It's got some alcohol in it, yeah. So.
How much did you take?
I took two capfuls.
They tried to make you go to rehab.
No. This is medicine. This is real medicine that I
took. Isn't it all medicine, Mike?
This is the right stuff to take. First of all, I stand by that medication.
Oh, it's the best.
It's an old standby, but you know something? It works for me.
You took the green?
I took the green.
The green is the best.
The green is the best. And even though I was in a reclining position and she handed me the cap full of the NyQuil with my... look, the truth is we all tweak it up when we're like that.
Of course.
Am I feeling a chill? Yes. Do I probably overdo the teeth chattering? Yeah, just a little bit because you're being taken care of.
We've had a chill.
Well, if you have a lady friend there that can provide.
I just was going. And she goes, take two capfuls, honey. So she pours the first capful, and I do the whole thing where it actually races down my chin. And I take a second capful And then it was kind of a delayed reaction. You're not going to go out as soon as you drink the NyQuil.
Right.
But I calm down. I start to watch 24 because, by this time, I mean, with all the time that's transpired between getting the, getting naked and, putting the comforter over me.
Now.
24 starts. I was out like a complete light at 8:45.
Wow.
I mean, gone, dead to the world. Tried to stay with 24, but it was a physical impossibility.
Finished it today.
Watched it in the morning. Which Rob and I were talking about that. TiVo's wonderful as far as being able to delay commercials and stuff. But TiVo, it sucks when you kind of watch a show the day after.
You want to watch it when America is watching.
Yeah, if it's a little delay and you're beating the commercials, that's one thing. When you watch it the day after, it's weird. But
I
still got a lot to say about 24.
Right, of course.
It was 2 a.m. I wake up wide awake at 2 a.m.
That's a real common thing because that's about the time it takes your body to process the NyQuil.
And it is this is like a scene out of a malaria movie once again where I am talking my pillow, my sheets, my body, everything soaking wet. Now, this could be two things, Rob. This could be kicking the fever out of my body.
Or
this could be detox.
No, it shouldn't be that. There's alcohol in the NyQuil.
There's alcohol
just
in the
enough to get him by.
Yeah, they're weaning me off. So I took my methadone.
Yeah, off to the clinic.
But I felt, even though I'm dripping wet and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I feel as though I've kicked this thing. And sure enough, I wake up today and... Back, I sound a little rocky, but I'm back to normal. It sounds, feels
great. I think
you
sound pretty good.
I look a little peaked, but that's
You've
pretty
never,
good.
You've never, to me, never been more beautiful.
God bless you all. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
All right.
Hello. Yes, it's all of us standing by to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, how did you make that 24 last night?
All right, since you brought it up, I will tell you. We're going to talk about 24 right now. 24, the famous two-hour season-ending episode. I don't want to say that all these TV shows that we love are starting to disappoint us a little bit, but I thought really as far as 24 goes, it kind of left us with a little bit of a whimper. I didn't think it was the best show.
You know, they've done this to us before, though, where the climax is not at the very end.
Yeah, and
it was a pretty good explosion on the oil derrick.
It was not bad. You watched the show, Buzz?
I did indeed.
Is this one I always got to keep track of with what you watch?
Yeah, no, I do watch it. And this we split on. We both dislike The Sopranos, but I think we split on 24 here.
You like 24?
I thought it was pretty good, yeah.
I didn't hate it. The thing that concerned me was that just at the very end,
You know, you see Jack, and not that I would have liked to see
full
him
of whimsy
plunge into the ocean at the end of the thing. And what is the deal with Jack's father? I mean, he looks like a Halloween mask.
Well, they killed him.
I mean, or did they?
Oh, of course they did.
No, hold on a second. That, to me, was completely left wide open.
Oh, no, that whole Derek went under along with Grandpa.
Okay, let me point something at you. You see, now, see, even in my depleted condition, gentlemen, I believe that I have noticed something that you have overlooked.
What was that?
Dad was down there. He was shot in the shoulder. Am I right? He was not shot in the chest. He was shot in the shoulder.
Don't know that for sure.
We don't know that for sure.
Let's say
where was Dad on the Derrick?
On the lower platform.
And what was next to the lower platform? What was he getting ready?
Water, to jump in the water?
No, he was getting ready. There was a raft there.
A submarine was coming to pick him up.
Wrong, but was there not a raft?
The thing that the people brought the boy back on, that little boat?
There was a raft there.
Oh, okay.
When he got down there and the kid hit him with a wrench, he was getting ready to untie a raft. At least that's what I thought I was looking at. Did you see that?
Come to think on it, that is what was going on.
I mean, it was actually a raft.
And I gathered from what Grandpa said before he passed away that he was checking out, wasn't coming back. I mean, I really got the sense that he was dying there. So
and that's how they get you.
But I understand they're changing the whole format of the show next year. So I don't know who's going to be back besides Jack Bauer.
But the thing is, I don't think... just because they come on and they tell you that Dad was killed, you know, and they said that, you know, he was killed in the Derrick.
Right.
Dad was left down, you know, the father of Jack Bauer was actually left down at the bottom.
His
he was left down
Eddie.
Near a Derrick. What's that?
His father, Eddie.
Is that the name of the dad?
Eddie Bauer.
What? Eddie Bauer. I can laugh today, Rob. Thank God I can laugh today.
But now, we have to assume that he's
dead.
Yes,
what were you trying to say?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail. We have to assume he's dead. You think he's alive.
Now, why do we have to assume he's dead?
I do, but I do.
I do, too.
I was watching, maybe it's because I watched it today, but as soon as I saw that, I said, well, they've set the table for the evil. He's the ultimate villain. In this season's episode, he was the ultimate villain. Jack could not kill him.
Right.
He made sure that the kid didn't kill him. He didn't haul him back to the helicopter. Right. And now you've got an opportunity for him to get out into that. If there was a raft on that Derrick, and I'd be curious to see if there's anybody else that saw whether there was a raft on the Derrick.
Even if he was on a raft, that was a pretty big fireball to not take out a raft.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hold on, let me get
Ricky Schroeder got his face blown off.
All right, did you watch the episode of 24, You on the Air, sir? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes. His answer is yes, Mike.
Yeah, hello, you're on the air. Speak to me, please.
I've got a conspiracy theory with 24.
Well, yes, now that we're finally communicating with you, what is your conspiracy theory?
Well, with the grandpa getting shot down on the lower deck, he either got in that boat like you were saying.
All right, but there was a boat there, correct?
Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or
maybe the Chinese came in and snagged him out.
All right, I agree. All right, I think that's a good call. I agree with that guy. Yes, Johnny Norman.
That was the same thing I was going to say, that the boat was there. And
there was a raft there, right?
There was the raft that they brought the son on to the Derrick. And then they were, at one point, they were supposed to get on the boat to get away so they could get to the submarine.
I think what they were going to do.
Time from when Jack ran upstairs to go get on the helicopter for him to have, you know, dragged his ass into that boat and got
Yeah, I think that the original plan was that they were going to get on the raft and they were actually going to take the raft out
to be
picked up by the submarine.
Well, maybe.
They could have actually left. They could have sailed out on James Cromwell's nose.
Yeah. His nose. It's a Halloween mask. It truly is.
He looks good with long hair, though.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with that telephone? Oh, my God. Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Are you in a wind tunnel?
Yes, I am.
All right.
In California.
All right, like, turn your body so we're not hearing all the wind, or bend over from the waist and protect your phone.
All right, I'll do that.
What can we do for you?
One important thing that you guys missed is that Jack's dad had the chip on him.
Had the what?
He had the chip. The Chinese guy gave him the chip the whole time he went to go get on the boat.
You know what? So, you're right. I didn't miss that, but I forgot to talk about that. I can't stand that phone. I can't listen to that.
Bye! Anymore.
The
circuit board.
The is that what they're searching for?
Yes. Yeah,
does it make me silly that I laughed just a little bit when Ricky Schroeder
got his face blown off?
Got his face blown off.
I didn't.
And does this mean next year's episode we're going to have little Ricky Schroeder with an iPad?
Next year he'll be played by Tab Hunter.
Or I was hoping that we would get Geordi from Star Trek next year.
That'd be good. That'd work.
They'll have some sort of Ricky Schroeder device where he'll be able to see.
I think there should be a level lovable CPU dog.
That would be very good. I'd like to see that. Donna Mike Show, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hello, lady.
I agree with Mike.
And you know what? You don't have to say anything more.
But can I explain?
Yes, of course you can.
Hey, it's a lady.
It's a lady. But I just love, what a great way to start any call. I agree with Mike.
That is true. But listen, his father was there. It wasn't just a raft. It was that speedboat. And he has the components. So he's alive.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's the way it ended, because there was enough time, because Jack got up on the roof. There was enough time for the father to fall into the boat and leave.
You know, everybody on our show, I should tell you, and what is your name, ma'am?
Jamie.
Jamie, I should tell you that everybody on this show fancies himself a fabulous television viewer. And I know that, you know, I think we all accept the fact that Don does it better than anybody as far as his ability to watch 20 different things at the same time.
He is Captain Video.
But I know Rob fancies himself a TV expert, and Buzz has like a grid that he watches all his
TV.
Don't
mess with me. I got a grid.
Now, me, I kind of do it willy-nilly, and look who on the show actually picked up on all this incredible stuff on 24.
Now, so do you
think... It's true. Why do you think that Don does it better than you?
Because Don can watch... I don't know how he does it.
He never misses anything.
He's told us what his strategy is. He actually will literally flip through three different television shows simultaneously.
I do that too, though.
He has an uncanny spider sense where he knows exactly what station to go to at what particular time.
I mean, you can come in sometimes. We'll come in here and ask him about three different television shows, and he's watched all three of them with TiVo or watched them at the same time. But you know, what I'm surprised at is that Mr. Burbank and Mr. Spiewak missed that pretty obvious detail.
Surprised you didn't know that.
Surprised you didn't know that.
I wonder now, that makes me wonder if that's what Jack was thinking about as he gazed out over the cliff at the end of the episode.
Well, I thought he was just, contemplating whether he was going to commit suicide. Sure. Everybody wants to talk about 24. Hello, Jerry, you're on the Don and Mike Show.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Always doing well.
Listen, my issue with 24 is Bill Buchanan. I just can't watch the show without hearing Ted Knight every time Bill Buchanan speaks.
Oh, no. I have no similarity.
You know what? I disagree. I'm going to hang up on you because I have to disagree, because I really think that it was so much fun. Do you think it's because the guy was so cool and so zen yoga man when we had him on the show?
Yep, absolutely.
But, two of the people we had on the air on the Don and Mike Show this year, Karen Hayes, character, and Bill Buchanan, both ended up being the heroes on the show, and I thought that was terrific.
At one point when it was announced that Bill Buchanan was going to fly the helicopter, Carrie looked at me, Carrie, my wife, and said,
how's she doing after her, quote, fall?
She's still sore and has no voice.
She has no voice.
Isn't that something?
Right. Oh, it's amazing.
She started a medication today.
Punch in the back, punch in the vocal cords. Jesus,
Carrie,
you're an animal, you bastard.
Oh, that's why you love me. Carrie looked at me and said, so, Bill Buchanan knows how to fly a helicopter? And I said, got to start in a Mexican circus.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what he did.
So he can do anything.
I was very happy to hear Bill Buchanan turned out to be the big hero on last night's episode. Hello, Patrick. You're on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, Radio Guys?
How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, look, Jack's father's dead.
Why do you think so?
Well, because I'm sitting there watching him. My wife kept saying, get the board. He's leaving the board. He's going to get away. And then right when Jack and them had to get on the helicopter, they went right back to Jack's father. You still see him laying there almost dead, and then the thing blows up.
No, you're wrong, though, because there was time between taking the kid to the corner. I mean, they get the kid on the plane. Who is it? Is it Josh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh is the kid's name. Then they pick up Jack, who's hanging from the other side. But you never go back to Jack's father. And what is his real name on the show? It's not Eddie Bauer.
I thought it was Philip.
Is it Phil? Right. Yes, it's Philip Bauer.
Philip Bauer.
I believe that episode left, I mean, as far as a cliffhanger, a very significant chance for him to be alive. I really think it could happen.
Now, Buzz, you said that there's going to be a revamped format for 24. I had not heard that.
It's true, but they've not explained what the new format will be.
It's going to be very similar to Baywatch.
It's going to turn completely upside down.
Variety show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you, man?
The chip, I don't think you gave him the chip. I thought he said that was the locator so the submarine could find him.
No, the guy had the component was with Philip Bauer on the derrick.
Yeah, but
it really is a soap opera when you start talking about it.
The Chinese guy, I thought, gave him the locator. I thought the father had the chip.
You just controlled yourself. You came very close to saying China Man, didn't you?
He did.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
very confusing.
Bye!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm beautiful.
I think I have a theory for 24. I think Jack's dad, he smuggled the FC sub-circuit board out in his nose.
Smuggling his nose. You know, they had a couple of those profile shots with that guy.
Really?
But I mean, to the point where, really, I mean, I know you see, he's the babe and the pig in the city guy, right?
Yeah,
right.
And before, he goes way back.
He looks almost ill. I mean,
you know,
that's
like he's lost weight everywhere except his nose, and that's accentuated by the fact that he has long but wispy hair. So when he gets outside, he looks like a portrait of death.
And he was very difficult on the boy.
Got more work since widescreen TV. Yeah, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike, I got to agree with a caller a minute ago. Right before Jack jumped onto the helicopter, they did flash back to the grandpa or the dad, and he was all crumpled up and, like, shivering there.
Yeah, that's the whole scam. That's what they, because you're not going to, the only thing they have to do on a television show like that is give you an opportunity to believe it could happen.
Yeah, revisit it.
So that when all of a sudden he shows up, you'll say, well, how could that happen? You know, I left you for dead. Yes, but I got onto the boat. He was getting ready. He could have made it onto that boat.
And the lady, Rena Sofer, who plays Marilyn Bauer, told us that, remember, that all will be dictated as to whether or not he's available.
I looked at her differently last night, too, after our interview with her for some reason. I looked at her just a little bit differently.
Well, she was a pain in the ass last night.
She was just so energetic. I don't know why I looked at her differently. It was a very strange look. She just seemed very, 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 very agitated when they talked to her.
Frenetic.
And she was kind of frenetic when we had her on the show, too. Hello, Donna Mike show. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to say, there's no way the fireball would not have blown up the raft. So quit being stupid.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What if the raft gets away from the derrick before the fireball from the F-16?
Jack Bauer could do it. Why couldn't the raft?
But Jack Bauer didn't get blown off a hook that he was hanging on to off a helicopter.
Because he's the good guy, dumbass.
You're the dumbass. I'm going to tell you this. You mark my words. I'm going to go one step further now. Next season on 24, and I don't care whether it's the Buzz Burbank revamp 24 where they all come out in Baywatch outfits.
Uh-huh.
I think you are seriously going to see. Philip Bauer will survive.
James Cromwell,
if he doesn't die in real life. That's right. We got to say this though. This is one thing we have not even discussed.
Oh, I think I was just about to bring the same thing up.
Donna Mike show. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yes, and tell us, Mark. You're absolutely right. We ignored it completely.
What? Yeah, pregnant Chloe.
Yeah.
Pregnant Chloe.
John Norman.
Yeah. Pregnant Chloe. John Norman,
Johnny,
who is in love. You are in love with Chloe.
I sure hope so.
John, how did that make you feel?
It was like, you know, it was a great day. I sat there and smiled like a retard. My wife laughed at me like the retard that I am.
And Chloe gave us a different look that we've ever seen on 24.
She smiled almost. Wasn't that lovely?
The whole concept just turned you on, didn't it? Okay, you are.
Right. That's quite enough.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's all we'll deal with.
Creeping me out.
You are not normal.
And we have to know that what's his name? Morris O'Brien is the father.
Yes, so, right.
Have they been together?
And I like Morris. I don't think Don likes Morris, but I like Morris.
I like
more
the character
I see
of Morris. Mm-hmm. Have they been together a long time? Because she's always been Chloe O'Brien.
I have no idea. You know, because I really don't care that much, Rob. But we will. We have two more calls on 24. Okay. I just want to talk a little bit about Regis and Kelly, if I can. Hello, Don and Mike show.
What's up, guys?
Hello.
Do you think that Jack took the component from his dad?
I believe we have established.
Talk like this.
We have established that Jack did not take the component from his dad, and that there is the chance that dad might have gotten away with the component. I mean, you think that's plausible at this point?
It could be, absolutely. Okay. But I think it's going to depend on whether or not they sign up James Cromwell next.
All right, I think we have run this into the ground. One more call on this, and then we'll be done with our 24 discussion. And hey, like everybody else, we're just going to have to wait till next year. Who can stand it a whole year before 24 comes on? I'm so tired of these TV shows. Anyway, Donna Mike show. Hello. Yeah.
Mike.
Hello.
Mike Buzz, Rob. Two things. First one, you think when the submarine, they said that it was being shadowed by the U.S. subs?
Mm-hmm.
And second, also, do you think that maybe Philip just floated away on Edgar's bloody bloated corpse.
That's could a happen. Fitting end. Thank you.
Could happen, he said.
Thank you very much, Chris. That's a fitting last call.
One,
yes.
One man's theory.
Yes, and wasn't it Edgar from last season?
Edgar Stiles.
So right. Edgar...
Played by Louis Lombardi.
Right? Louis Lombardi.
He died in a gas attack.
That corpse would be in a very, very bad shape.
That's true.
Yes, his corpse managed to float out to the Derrick on the second season. Well, it's the second day, because those days are very busy.
Very close. He must get some sleep.
Right. Well, you know what? I guess it was a good show. Everybody wanted to talk about it. I didn't mind it. And we really don't know what the deal is going to be with Jack as he looks out wistfully to the sea. I thought we might have suicide coming at the very end, but you can't do that because then the show doesn't go on.
You need to have your Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer. That's the first cliffhanger I've seen that actually occurred on a cliff.
It was on a cliff. And, of course, we didn't even mention it, but we will later. Bill Devane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who'd have thunk it, right? Not just back, Buzz. He was the... He wrapped the whole thing up.
Oh, yeah.
And what was great, it was casual Devane in V-neck. It wasn't the suit Devane. No one liked Devane in a suit.
Just taking care of his daughter. And,
sure.
Well, you might be hearing him right now, but if I was doing that, then Buzz wouldn't be able to interview him in Powers Booth later in the broadcast.
Should that happen.
Should that happen. Now, I'm not going to say that is going to happen.
We got so lucky.
Now, one other thing, TV. Do you have those tapes of Regis and Kelly Lee?
I do.
All right. Regis and Kelly... if you really want to enjoy this show, if you want to enjoy the wobbliness of this show, you have to wait till they go to a location. And even better, if they go to a location where they are outside. Now, I watched the whole show today. It was really a special one. And this is the only theory I have that I believe that...
They were live outside in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, beautiful, the Big Easy. I was down there recently.
Great city.
And it appears to me more and more that... Kelly is becoming Regis's caregiver.
Yes, primary caregiver.
Now, what are the things you say? You got some tape for us.
I do. This first one is when, everyone's thinking about Idol tonight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they ask, Regis poses this question.
Okay. So that's what's going on down here in New Orleans, which incidentally, we've had just a wonderful time. But tonight, of course, you picked it. Who do you want? You want Blake or do you want Robin?
Okay. Now, look, I don't want to kick a dog when he's down. I really don't. And we know... We know that Regis has had the bypass surgery.
Uh-huh. Within weeks. Just weeks ago.
The guy came back from the surgery. When he came back on the show, I believe everybody on this show commented on how good he looked.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And it looked like maybe the humidity was getting to him today.
It is a moist environment. Here's how they spin out of it.
Okay.
Her name is Jordan. I'm
Jordan.
You call her Robin. Robin, Reg.
No, I'm the one. I picked Jordan about 2 months ago.
I picked Lakeisha, and then I picked Melinda, and they're both gone.
Well, then I think you're out of the running.
I think I'm out of the running, too. I'm out of
but,
the running.
But two pretty good-looking kids and great voices,
there
and we'll
is.
See what happens.
Very, very great for them. Exciting.
It's all right. Okay. He's an idiot.
Regis said, how about those wonderful kids? Tonight you've got Blank and Robin. Should be a fabulous episode. And really looked to me, it was one of those, you live there, Buzz. It looked like it was one of those real heavy air New Orleans kind
of
days.
We got a couple of those.
Because Regis came out, with one of his fabulous suits that he always wears. And by the end, it looked like, seriously, somebody had run it through some sort of cattle press.
Well, they closed the show with a song.
What is a cattle press? I don't even know what that
is. It's what they iron cattle with.
Thank you very much.
Well, you never see a wrinkled cow.
Thank you.
And here's how Regis starts. He sings with Pete Fountain.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Now I love Pete Fountain. I love everything about New Orleans. Uh-huh. Did you and I try to go see Pete Fountain one night?
Yes, but we were too drunk.
I can't imagine.
I can, even though it's a raspy gurgle, thank God I'm able to laugh again today. No, I love Pete Fountain. I had an album from him when I was a kid. He's the best clarinet player in the history of the world.
Dixieland Jazz.
He happens to be now 130 years old.
Uh-huh.
But Regis, this is when you sit there and look at Regis Philbin and you say to yourself, okay, what is the reason that this man has just risen to the heights of a... I think it is because he's the everyman. And his flaws are so obvious, but they say early on in the show that Regis is going to do a song with Pete Fountain. And the song speaks for itself.
I'm sure.
If you can't see this, you can see this on television, you can't hear it on the audio. He is staring. I mean married to the cue cards for this song.
And this is a song from his act. It's not like something that they've plunked out of, you know, nowhere.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is his stage show that he's done in the past. He should know this song. It should be committed to memory, but he doesn't have it.
So let's start, and then we'll go to the part
that
really matters.
Listen to this, Regis, absolutely. Yeah, it's a real toe-tapper, bud.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of those dreamy scenes, there's a Garden of Eden. That's what I mean.
Okay, so that's how it ideally should sound.
All right.
And then they go to an instrumental break. He dances.
A hump
Kelly dances.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly decides she's going to get involved, and she seriously looks like she weighs 13 pounds.
She really looked like she was having a hard time picking up her shoes. And then Regis, after the instrumental break, gives us this. At one point, he says, "Where am I?
Where am I, Pete? I don't know." And you know, and Regis, you know, who's 70, is leaning over to the 91-year-old guy. Hey, where the hell am I, Pete? Tell me what's going on. Meanwhile, you got a guy. He's talking to the guy who's trying to play the clarinet.
Where am I, Pete?
It was so bad. It was such bad television. Here he goes. Sing it, Regis.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of those dreamy scenes.
And you picture a guy sitting down there with the cue cards, you know, just staring, sticking them in Regis's face.
Hey, old baby with flashing eyes.
And then they both laughed.
That's unfortunate.
I loved it. It really was a great show.
Great
Regis
moment.
And Kelly down in New Orleans. Got time for one more phone call. We are up on a break. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
And I stood up in the middle of my living room and I said he didn't get off of the Cock of Duty oil, Derek.
Very good. That'll sum it all up right
that
there.
Is quite fitting.
Okay, well, we haven't talked about the other big television show, and I do have a dilemma, as you know, from last week as to whether, you know, I'm going to pursue it.
Yeah.
Also, I think I know what will happen.
What?
I won't say now.
No, you're going to be a coy.
Keep it in my pocket.
You know, also, I want to talk a little bit more about our brand new piece of new meat, Matt.
He's here.
Matt the Pole, as we like to call him, ladies and gentlemen.
That was his name when he worked in another industry.
And then we have to cover strip trivia again because, you know, so far our approach has not worked. I think we have to accept that.
This is true.
And perhaps turn it on to somebody who, well, is a turn on himself.
Joe?
Yes, of course. Joe.
Perfect.
And before I burp, we're going to pause right now for a commercial break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Fifth, let's expand affordable housing. We know we've got to provide more housing. The president showed me the housing that she's already built here on the campus.
Hillary
it
Clinton.
Looks a lot better than trailers, Madam President.
Go ahead, Hillary. Also from New Orleans.
Excuse me. I'm going to sound like Tallulah Blankhead.
Who?
We also need to address the skyrocketing cost of insurance and provide more rental housing. Next, let's deal with the rising crime rate.
Hillary.
Put more police back on the streets. Fund them with federal dollars. We need to make sure that we have 21st century schools in New Orleans.
Hillary Clinton. Struggling through.
We know there were serious problems before Katrina, but let's set a goal of making New Orleans schools the best in the country. Eighth, we have to revitalize the healthcare system, reopen hospitals, and let's rebuild Charity Hospital and make it the symbol for healthcare it should be.
That's Hillary Clinton, of course, after her make-out session with Buzz Burbank.
We need to address the growing mental health problems in the city and the area. Let's promote smart development, clean, efficient energy use, green buildings, and so much else so that New Orleans is sustainable. And finally, we have to overhaul the nation's disaster response system.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to buy.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Homo.
Their show is Novelty Store Big. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Welcome back to the Don and Mike Show. We got a big show today. You know that guy from Cat House, I believe, is the name of the show on HBO?
Exactly.
A good friend of the Don and Mike Show.
Sadly, that's true.
Dennis Hoff. It's Hoff,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Dennis Hoff, we did a broadcast at his little brothel a long time ago. And now, of course, he's a major cable star with that show Cat House that's all over HBO.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was
Mrs. No, that's Rob. You're not supposed to play the customer list. You really shouldn't bother with doing that. And apparently, John Norman explains to me that the way this works is that old Dennis Hoff had a run-in with the Reverend Al Sharpton. Is that right?
Yes. Apparently, they were in the building the day that they did the piece with Imus's producer and Sharpton on the air, and they ran into him afterward.
And he's got a little tale to tell about that?
Quite the tale to tell.
Little tale to tell, little tale to sell.
Exactly.
And we can ask him all about his fabulous show, which I believe is on for another season this year, right?
Yes, that was what they were in New York for the kickoff of the new season.
Good. All right, so Dennis Hoff will be on the show.
Just hope you can draw him out.
Also, something that I've wanted to do, you know, Rob, I have been dying to do this for years and years and years on the show, and that, of course, is a tribute to the, well, my favorite affiliate that we have on the network, and that, of course, is Sacramento, California, when we are going to close down the show for just those wonderful people out there and play America's very favorite show. Joe, there's something about the speed of that one that works very, very well. I do appreciate that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's gonna be absolutely fantastic. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
Hey guys, I just wanted to call because you opened with the Hillary Clinton thing. A friend of mine, his little brother is graduating from McLean High School. It's mid June.
Home of the Highlanders.
Yeah, exactly. See, Rob's a local boy. He knows all the mascots.
Exactly.
My father and mother.
Oh, really?
At McLean High School.
Okay. Thank you for that incredibly irrelevant information.
The guest commencement speaker is none other than Hillary Clinton herself.
Ah. Oh, they're going to get a Hillary at the at a high school?
Yeah. It's going to be for the high school. It's going to be at Constitution Hall.
Well, fantastic. Get her some water.
So I'm going to be there, and I'll have a tape recorder in case she has another cold.
At the ready. Everybody will be ready. I think nowadays that's the whole thing. The politicians always have to deal with. You never know who's going to be recording you.
Exactly.
Do you remember former Senator George Allen? You remember what that did? I mean, that's what people do.
Yeah.
And, Hillary... Buzz, that's not similar to what you had. I mean, I don't know what she was dealing with. She was having trouble breathing, it sounded like.
No, that's some kind of a lung problem that she had there, but I don't know what that was. Not what I had, but a lot of people have been losing their voice lately.
Sounds like she inhaled a moth.
I thought it was sexy. I really
like that
did.
In a lady.
All right, American Idol, the, what is it, 6 hours, 4 hours, 10 hours? How long is it tonight?
Are you rooting for Blake or Robin?
I don't want to talk about it. I really don't want to talk about either one of those two, Jordan or Blake, but how many hours is it tonight?
Tonight it's 1 hour.
1 hour tonight is the competition.
They will each sing three songs.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the drag, is that they're required each to sing the treacly, whatever song it is they have to record when they win.
And so that's a suck fest.
Oh, it hasn't been a good song ever.
So it's a 1 hour show tonight.
Yes.
They each sing three songs.
Yeah, and one of them will be a duplicate.
And now I remember I was adamant last week when I said that I had no intention of joining in on the American Idol fun.
I know that Don and I were in agreement that you would be back.
Now, hold on. There's a mitigating circumstance here.
The illness?
Not even my illness.
Yes, your debilitating illness?
That has nothing to do with it. Okay. It's Paula Abdul.
And
you don't have internet service when you actually get hip to something. I think I heard this. I had to hear this on Regis.
Well, if they get it first.
And they're cutting edge. Here's the story right here. Paula Abdul's clumsiness forced her to choose between keeping her nose intact. And incidentally, like, we're all supposed to believe this too.
Oh, I know.
Keeping her nose intact and keeping her chihuahua intact. Now her nose is broken, but her dog is okay. It says at some point this weekend, Paula sacrificed her nose in order to save Tulip, one of her chihuahuas. And of course, is it the prerequisite out there that you have to have the mini dog?
Apparently,
yeah,
so.
I mean, the dog you can take to Rodeo Drive. Sadly, the details are a little vague. Here we go.
Of course.
Yeah. Details a little bit vague.
Can't imagine.
But essentially, Paula clumsily found herself about to trample on Tulip. Mm-hmm. when at the last minute she was able to avoid... See, then, I guess this is a publicist that's spinning this to make it sound like she skillfully avoided the dog. Unfortunately, a series of tragic events followed, and Paula fell, somehow walking away with a broken nose. Says the injury wasn't serious, and she didn't need to be hospitalized. I had really, seriously, I was going to stick to my guns with no... I'm wondering if I'm the only one that is pissed off about American Idol, because I think that the real talent of the show has been whittled out. It really is not a talent competition anymore. It's more or less, you know, a teeny bop competition that, you know, with Blake and his hyperactive moves. I mean, I hope I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Do you think that Paul is going to show up with a nose like Blake's tonight?
Blake and his bad nose.
Bad nose.
So, now, I heard somewhere that apparently you will not see bandages tonight.
And when I heard that, you know what I thought? And I learned this from you, as the big, magnificent finale comes.
Right.
She breaks her nose, but we're not going to see bandages or evidence of it. Did she really break her nose?
Yeah, and what is the deal? I mean, there is no evidence of her, unless, and this could be special. All right, I'm going to have to watch tonight.
Yeah, you have to.
I will not necessarily watch tomorrow night, but I will watch tonight just to see the nose. Could this be, have they anticipated she's going to be medicated for her pain?
Of course she will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of all the people that are here, you are the captain of broken noses. Mm-hmm. You've broken your nose at least how many times?
I've broken it 3 times.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Is it something that you can, once it's like clicked back into place, you don't need to put a splint or anything on it?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but what you have, if you have a real bad break of your nose, you're going to have two black eyes.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. And normally swelling? You'll have swelling on your nose. Swelling. And if it's a really bad break.
I thought it sounded really great.
And if you have to do, since I am the expert and you asked, Rob, you do have to do a national television show and you have to do it with a broken nose, you have to get incredibly drunk before you do that TV show.
Of course.
So that is my question to you and everybody else. Will she be medicated when we see her tonight? And will there be evidence? Is this
be black eyes?
We see a story like this. They said she will not have bandages on that, right? They've said that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they're coming out and even mentioning the story then.
Did you have bandages when you got your nose broken any of those times?
My first time breaking my nose. It might have been the second time, I'm not sure. Two of them were in hockey.
Uh-huh.
And the worst break that I ever had that caused deviated septum, was I was playing high school hockey. I don't remember seriously guys that I went to college with. I remember this guy's name.
Wow.
His name was Joe Hendrickson. And Joe Hendrickson had hippie hair. He had it down to his shoulders. A lot of guys had long hair in those days. And we didn't play with face cages when we were playing hockey.
Sure.
We had leather helmets.
No need.
Yes, sir. And I remember when Gordie Howe said to me, it was a defenseman and a right-wing drill.
All right.
Where the coach would stand at center ice.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the drill. It's quite simple. You take the puck, you throw it into the corner, the defenseman goes in, and the right wing goes in, and whoever comes out with the puck first gets the, wins the drill.
Right.
It's just a little skating, checking everything drill in hockey. And what it is, you're going into a corner and seeing who comes out with the puck first.
Right.
Now, in hockey, you have this thing known as a poke check, where you lift a guy's stick up, and it's a standard move in hockey. It's when a guy reaches out.
Is it allowed?
Yes, totally allowed. It's illegal. It's a legal deal.
Uh-huh.
And a poke check is when a guy reaches out for the puck, and you give him a little chop on the stick to lift it up real quick, so you can get under it and get to the you get his stick out of the way.
Right.
Well, Joe Hendrickson, God love him, in his infinite wisdom, he went to give me this incredibly hard poke check to lift his stick up, and my stick wasn't anywhere near it, and his blade of his stick came across and went right across my face. I mean, right across my face.
Wow.
Opened it up, and how does Jerry say it? Blood like you have never seen before.
Like from a goddamn fist.
It was amazing. Blood, not from every hole I had, but it was blood coming out. I mean, blood was a trail of blood. Because what did I do? I skated back out to the coach. And the coach, in his infinite wisdom, said to me, O'Mara, get off the ice. You're bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
I got off the ice. I went up. We had our dressing room on the our locker room. Our dressing
your
room.
Your dressing room?
I just,
with a star on the door.
On the costumes.
I just turned a tough game of hockey, into like a Broadway musical.
So you went in and sat down and looked in the mirror that was surrounded by 100-watt bulbs. You said, look at my nose. It's ruined.
Oh, stop. It's a dressing room. It's a locker room.
Uh-huh.
The door was locked. I'm still bleeding. I got blood going all the way down the front of my shirt. And I ended up going back down to the bench where I laid with my head back on the bench. And they put a towel on me. And then I think the word from my father the next morning was, I don't think it's broken. My father was not like that, but that particular time he said, I don't think it's broken. No problem at all. And, will you see where my nose is now?
Well, when you're looking, like, let's say you're looking at a clock. If you're looking at 12 o'clock, your nose is looking at 11. It's not good. It's a 5-minute difference.
I'm a Picasso.
You can tell.
You guys have known me for a long time.
Yeah, but really, it's not that noticeable. It's not like you were made by Picasso or anything.
Thank you. All I know is every time that Carrie's broken her nose, quite by accident, like there's always been some evidence.
A terrible fall.
She falls and she breaks her nose.
Hello, Donna Mike Show, you're on the air.
Hello, this is James. How are you today?
James, how are you? You have another one of those weird-sounding phones. What can we do for you today?
Yeah. I'm calling to say hey to you and the radio guys in the buzz. We're James and Irwin from the Irwin Gomez Salon downtown. And
there was a shameless plug, but don't say it again. Okay. But why are you giving me... was that an attempt to do just a shameless plug? Because that's
No, not at all, Don. Please, Mike. No, never.
All right.
We were, if you recall, the gay couple that had the Bush twins and Buzz came to our gay wedding.
Oh,
like,
I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, I just want to call and let the listeners know that tonight we're having a huge fundraiser down in Georgetown for Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Uh-huh.
In which Julia Nixon, one of the original Broadway dream girls, is going to be performing 14 songs for her new CD release this coming fall. And it's all in efforts to raise money for the
city. Buzz, this is up to you.
It's a worthy cause.
It is a worthy cause.
It's a great cause. It's my pet cause.
But as I always say, what is in it for Buzz Burbank?
Well, Buzz Burbank, there's tons of women for Buzz Burbank. Like,
we're talking
about some of Washington's finest women in heels.
Well, then perhaps you have
to die for.
Perhaps you have a website or phone number.
Yeah, we have a website.
All right, go ahead. Well, who do they call if they want more information? Go ahead, real quick.
If you want more information, you call 240-432-6700 or go to the website and it tells you all about it. www.erwin.gomez.com and click on the links and it will tell you the address.
Good.
It's done.
Okay, man. All right, we will do that. Good luck with that and hope you do well with your fundraiser, okay? Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you for their efforts on their behalf.
That's a pet cause for Rob, so I'm glad we did that. Hello, Donna Mike Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike. Last night, Paula was on the news, and she explained everything, just like you read. She said that she didn't have bandages on under her.
Wait. Hold on.
She did not have bandages on her nose.
Uh-huh.
She said because of the makeup, you won't see anything. You might see something under her eye, which tells that you said might be a broken nose.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see what Paula looks like. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'm not sure.
It's just so awfully convenient that this would be released on the day of the performance.
The last show. You think she's maybe... See, this is my scenario. I picture Paula Abdul feeling the pressure, a little burned out on the show and having another one. You know, really, maybe... Because she's done real well. We haven't had a lot of episodes during the live things where you've seen her appear to be... Because nobody's talked about it, and we haven't talked about it.
Considering how the season started. Remember when they were doing all the pre-press?
Yeah, and the fact that she didn't travel when they all traveled.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, remember, they went to Africa. Randy went to New Orleans. And
she
Paula
went to Burbank.
Went around the corner to the Hollywood, like YMCA. You didn't see Paula going anywhere. But she's done pretty well, and I'm thinking maybe the pressure finally got to her.
Yeah.
I must have a... I picture her like Judy Garland walking around her apartment.
Oh, my.
Can I see it's an apartment? It's not even a house in the Hollywood.
Her flat.
Yeah. I think it could be an interesting show just to watch her, but I'm still not sold on it completely.
Join us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
Mike, please don't tell me you're not going to watch the Red Sox Yankees tonight.
Well, hold on a second. I mean, of course I watched the... Well, you know what? I bailed out last night watched the Red Sox Yankees for a while, but they were getting their butts handed to them, and I just was tired.
He's a
and I didn't stick around, but that, I do have a totally legitimate excuse as far as not watching it, because it is the Red Sox Yankees.
True.
But, you know, no, I'm not going to. I was about to say something really arrogant about the Red Sox.
Hey, just step back.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't too early, do that. Early
is,
in the season.
That is complete jinx if I do that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike, listen, before I have a verbal beatdown, did you talk, when it comes to Regis, did you talk about him reading the wanted poster for the cat?
No, he did not mention
that. No, but I saw that today. That was one of his stellar moments in New Orleans.
He actually took a crew down to Bourbon Street to get footage of the poster.
And it looked like, really, that he's, you know, I don't know what he's doing, but it's like, isn't this a lovely poster for a missing cat? And then he comes back, and there's this sign underneath that says, cat found, thank you, and Regis apparently took credit for somebody finding this, like, mangy little cat in New Orleans.
And there's one
but
other... I'm sorry,
go ahead. Better than that. Well, he was reading the thing. The cat's name was like Zoom Zoom, and in parentheses it said A.K.A. No No. But it was they didn't period between the A and the K. So when he read, it was like we're looking for the cat Zoom Zoom. Aka No No.
That and not only that, but when he read the poster, and this cat's already been found.
Yeah, right.
He read the phone number on national television.
I know. Oh, can you imagine what I mean? I don't know if like the Regis audience is similar to our audience or some of the other
ones. I don't know. I just thought of our people on K Street. Could we have done that?
Hey, lady, I got your cat.
I got your cat.
I got your cat, lady. Fantastic.
Hello.
No, no.
Donna Mike Show, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, turn your radio down, please.
Hold on 1 second.
I bet he's doing a fundraiser.
Sounds like somebody's trying to impersonate the Belcher.
Hey, Mike.
Good afternoon. It is 14 minutes after the hour.
Yes. And I was wondering, Mike, have you spoke to Yogi Berra? I was wondering what he thought of the current state of the Yankees is.
He's baiting you.
Well, what are you trying to do? Was that a burp?
No, he wants you to do Yogi Berra.
I don't want to do Yogi Berra. I'm nervous about the whole Yankee thing, talking about it right now. It makes me very, you know, very, very nervous. Sure. But that's neither here nor there. I want to discuss Matt the Pole, if we can, for one second.
Of course.
Here.
The new intern.
Yes. Yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, on the broadcast, we got the pleasure. And don't worry, Matt the Pole, you will not need to come in today. I have been advised by all of my advisors it's best to keep you off mic for the time being.
At a distance.
Now, yesterday I asked John Normand what is the job description, and there really was no job description for Matt the Pole.
It's a little of everything.
So, right. Yeah, it's a little of everything, but still we do not have any specifics as far as Matt the Pole. Mm-hmm. And this is where I leave it up to our listening audiences to exactly, you know, what we can do for Matt the Pole, what his duties should be. And I think it's time to really think about it, all of us, to think about what involves a real, true Don and Mike intern. What do they do?
Are you throwing this to us or to the listeners?
I'm throwing it to everybody concerned.
Okay, so what we want to see.
Yeah, Matt the Pole yesterday, at one point I had him go out and get something for me.
Mm-hmm.
He failed miserably in that task. He did bring me an apple.
You got the apple.
Which I did eat, but really, you know, outside of, I want to know what, I want to make sure that when we do this with our listening audience, that they think that we are both being firm enough and fair enough.
Firm
Buzz, I know you like that firm.
It's important to be firm and fair.
Firm and fair.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to feel that we're going completely over the top with young Matt, but yet there is an entertainment value to testing these young people as they cut their teeth in the broadcast business. And I think that firm and fair is exactly what I'm looking for.
The way to go.
You want to test his metal.
No. So throughout the show today, we'll be taking people's ideas as far as what they think the duties of young Matt the intern. Matt the Pole, as he is known. We found out yesterday that Matt is Polish, although he looks like he may be Saudi Arabian.
But he apparently stowed away from Krakow.
He did.
On a shrimp boat. So when people went to buy their Polish shrimp, out springs Matt.
So that's just something to consider throughout the show today. We don't have any time to take those calls right now. And before we go, we are up on a break. But Buzz,
yes.
I did want to talk about strip trivia.
Oh, please.
All right. Now, first, let me check in with Johnny. Johnny, where are we right now on strip trivia for the
Johnny Norman!
We're worse off than we were the last time we had this talk. The two girls that I thought had that I had that might be interested, they just fell away.
All right, dear.
Yes, I know, it's horrible.
All right, now, John, without throwing you under the bus once again, because I know that happens all the time, John, do you think it's something about you? Like when you contact these women personally, do they seem to flee?
I did not speak to, actually, Joe spoke to the one girl on the telephone. No, he was very nice to her. Got her in.
Now your you know your predecessor here just grunted. He sighed when he said.
I chose to ignore him.
You always do.
I try.
You always make that choice.
Joe talked to the one girl, and she sent me an email, and it was a scheduling.
All right, I'm going to propose something because first of all, you know, when Don comes back, if we don't do this, we're not going to do it, and it's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's not going to happen at all. And I'm going to ask you. Buzz, mm-hmm. if you would mind. There are two things I'd like to see happen right now.
Right.
I really think there's only one person that should solicit for strip trivia.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we've been down the skank road, and it hasn't worked.
I bought a condo.
You know, you loved it. I know
I
you,
did.
You were filled with great joy about the skank road.
And you had a little fun.
I did have a little bit of
it
fun.
It was naughty fun.
But it is my humble belief that in order to really reel in some wonderful, beautiful, lovely ladies for strip trivia, two things should happen with this. Number one, this gentleman, my esteemed gentleman through the glass to my left here, should not only on the air solicit for strip trivia as only he can, but I'm going to ask you this, Buzz.
What's that?
Would you be willing to, if there has to be a phone call made, I really think it should be you contacting these women. You know, they set it up to you. They give you a phone number, and you say, just call this. Hey, we're ready for you.
As a staff member of the show, as a team player, if you need me to make a call, I absolutely will do it.
I think that's going to lock them in. Mm-hmm. I really do. And, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about strip trivia. How much money are you going to have on the line, John Norman, seriously, for this?
I think $500 is the last number Don mentioned.
$500.
That's a pretty good prize. Yeah.
$500.
And he was willing to go one-on-one, so your chances is 1 in 2 of winning.
Chances is, though I wear a grammatical grin.
So you might be sick, but apparently it's nothing to do with your ears.
The moment you come in. Well, without that, do we have some music for Mr. Burbank?
Do we?
Ladies, please, listen to the following offer. For a fabulous Don and Mike contest.
Let me think of what to say because I want to get this just right.
All right, take your time, Buzz.
Hello, you gorgeous, sexy, helping of woman. Looking for a little afternoon fun? Listen to me, Buzz. The one who treats you the way you want to be treated. Why don't you slip out of those clothes and into a little game we call strip trivia? While soaping up with a free car wash from Mike, and I shower you with the kind of lingerie a woman like you deserves, you can earn $500 with your hottest erogenous zone, your mind. You know you want to, because you are a naughty, naughty girl. Strip trivia, $500, lingerie, and me to whisper encouraging words in your ear. Is it hot in here, or is it you? And remember, baby, if it doesn't work out, you and me, steal a car and go to California. Thank you for listening.
Buzz Burbank, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's it. You heard it. One-on-one strip trivia. We're looking for ladies to play the game. We might even be able to do it this week. Who knows?
Sure, I'd like that.
I'd love to do it this week. $500 on the line. Come in, play strip trivia. Mm-hmm. That was Buzz Burbank. If you call in and you want to talk to him, he'll talk to you personally.
I'll talk to you.
Or go to donandmikewebsite.com and send an electronic mail.
Yes, send an electronic mail or call us here. Do they call a regular 800 number?
They can do that.
You can call 877-365-3636. And if you want to play strip trivia, or you can go to donandmikewebsite.com. And, well, I can't say it any better than Buzz Burbank just said it.
I'm ready to compete.
It's going to be absolutely fabulous.
Call myself.
Don't forget coming up on the show today, Dennis Hoff, the pimp daddy from the Moonlight Bunny Ranch on the show, and also my all-time favorite, Good Afternoon Sacramento. But first, we got a lot of tapes to go through, including an incredible catfight between Rosie and Elizabeth Hasselbeck. And you said it's disturbing,
it makes your shoulders tight.
So get ready to be disturbed. That'll be coming up next on the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So how long do I wait to call?
About a day.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, then a day.
Yeah. So 2 days.
Yeah,
I guess you could call it that. Definitely. 2 days.
2 days is like industry standard. No, I used to wait 2 days to call anybody, but now it's like everyone in town waits 2 days. So I think 3 days is kind of money. What do you think?
Yeah, well, 2's enough not to look anxious.
Yeah, 2's enough not to look anxious, but I think 3 days is kind of money.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know what? Maybe I'll wait 3 weeks. How's that? And tell her I was cleaning out my wallet and I just happened to run into her number.
And ask her where you met her.
Yeah, I'll ask her where I met her. I don't remember. What does she look like? And then I'll ask if we f***ed. Is that, would that be tea? Would that be the money?
The Don and Mike Show.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Stand by for spontaneous mediocrity with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, I think I like that tape so much because that's my 5% that likes that.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
I love that. I really do. Hey, Buzz, remember when I was asking before about that hurricane thing? Did you ever find that hurricane prediction?
Yeah, you heard this, what, in the news today?
Yeah, I heard that in the news. I was reading it somewhere, in maybe the regular newspaper, because my internet was down and still is Comcast.
You mean you actually got news from a piece of paper?
That's totally antiquated.
Wow.
It's totally insufficient. Yeah. I was totally embarrassed and totally disgusted.
Ye old paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're predicting the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is predicting 13 to 17 named storms this season, and they say 7 to 10 of those are expected to become hurricanes. That's the prediction.
And, they gave the three of them would be major.
Three to five of them will be major hurricanes,
you
major
know,
storms.
All right, my question is this. You can get up on a Saturday morning, they can't tell you what it's going to be that afternoon.
Right. But
they'll say it's going to be sunny. How in the name of God are they able to tell us how many
seven to 10 hurricanes, storms. Three of them major.
You know what I hate about these stories when they come out with these predictions? Didn't they do the same thing last year?
Well, they do it every year. Every year they give a year-ahead forecast of what they expect in terms of hurricanes.
And do you remember, I don't, but I seem to remember they also predicted the same thing, that we were going to have a heavy hurricane season last year.
Yeah, they couldn't have been more wrong in their last prediction. They based this on ocean temperatures and stuff like that.
So it's like what, Blackwell's list?
That's right. It's voodoo of some
They just
kind.
Do it every year?
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't?
Every
just,
year. It's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Service.
Did we have Doug Hill or Topper or one of those local guys on that said when they give these computer models that the best they can really do, the most accurate they can get is within 24 hours.
I think was Doug Hill who said that. Yeah,
and even in that 24 hours, there's a margin for error.
Sure, but this is the forecast for the year ahead.
Yeah, but so that's different.
Yeah, how could it be wrong?
It's farther away.
Right.
And they're just naming storms. It's stupid.
Name storms. I mean, absolutely. They're basing that on
you got to give them names. You don't want them to show up unannounced.
See, you're being silly. I'm being serious because I'm worried about these hurricanes.
No, they name them in advance every year. They decide what the names are going to be and the order they will appear.
How many hurricanes will be in Manassas?
How many will knock the internet out?
All of them. No matter how far away they are.
All right, time for our tapes now. I want to play some tapes for you. Rosie O'Donnell, she's doing it again. This from TMZ.com. Our good friends over there. Rosie O'Donnell sure is itching to be done with The View. And she's definitely not hiding her displeasure with her co-host. After what she called was an explosive day. This is yesterday on the air. This happened now. Now, I saw a little bit of this. I have not heard the whole thing. It is very disturbing. But this is Rosie now, in my opinion, completely out of control. That she's out the door. She knows she's out the door. And as opposed to maybe leaving gracefully and, there's burning bridges and then there is just lighting the whole building on fire.
This is really weird because I watched today expecting there'd be a mention or a follow up, but they're all buddy buddy today.
They are today?
They were not buddy buddy yesterday.
So this is neat if you didn't get a chance to hear this.
Let's have a listen.
Michael Moore's new documentary is called Sicko. It's about the American healthcare system and, you know, it premiered in Cannes. It's opening soon, the 28th, I believe, of June. And,
I told you Fox was fair and balanced.
Well, did you watch what they said about me? Did you watch them this weekend?
I was
Isn't it con?
Not if you're Rosie. It can be
if
can.
You're Rosie, it's cons.
Uh-huh. It can be con.
Plural. I've heard can. I've heard con. I've never heard cons.
You know what I say? Nice con.
Oh, on Rosie?
Yeah.
I beg to differ.
Rosie O'Donnell thinks our troops are terrorists. Hmm. What do you think about that?
Something like that on MSNBC.
Did you watch it?
I wasn't in here this weekend.
You know, whenever you're listening to audio from The View, you do have to get by the...
It's a little cackle.
It's tough. And this, right now, only two of them are talking. Pretty soon you're going to get all four.
Oh, you know, being on a show where we have, had usually two, three, four people involved every single day, it sometimes astonishes me how when these television shows come up, these women are literally all talking simultaneously for a minute at a time, mm-hmm. and no one is listening to anybody else.
It reminds me of something you yelled once at another motorist.
What's that?
Others?
Others!
Others!
We talked about it?
Yes.
So do you think that that's what I was saying in that conversation?
To, to the conversation.
Rosie O'Donnell thinks our troops are terrorists.
Because you asked the question, who are the terrorists if 650,000 Iraqis are dead after we came in there and invaded a sovereign nation? I'm just trying to, like...
Yeah, that was the conversation.
Okay, maybe that they drew the link there.
This is like, these two in school...
Oh, my God.
First of all, Rosie would win in school, because this is when she'd be beaten up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm no fan of Elizabeth Hasselbeck's politics at all, but this is when Rosie would go, oh, you think so, Elizabeth? Yeah. Boom.
She'd kiss her fist, yeah. And she'd hit Elizabeth.
And really, I think Rosie is doing verbally what she'd probably like to do physically right here.
And also, remember, she'll always win because she's louder.
She is. I don't drew the link, or they misrepresented what I said in order to twist it to make it seem what they want.
Oh, Ro.
And the crowd just claps anytime someone makes any point.
Yeah, well, that's what they're there for.
They're dying to be entertained.
Clarify it to them now, because you have the opportunity. What? Because I did read that a lot of people were thinking.
You want me to say it again?
Answer your own question.
Okay,
then
I'll say it real fast. But I just think it's interesting that the network you support takes such joy in twisting my words and distorting them. I do not think our American troops are terrorists. I want our American troops home, mm-hmm. able-bodied. I don't want them to invade countries that have done nothing to the us. I don't want them to die at the hands of a Republican administration that doesn't care enough about them to give them health care when they return. I love our troops and will work for our troops. And no matter what you say...
Oh, God.
And that's the truth.
It's just... You want more?
I do want more.
Okay.
I like it.
When you say...
Okay. Now, seriously, someone has made a point in there. I didn't hear it. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear
Someone's
it.
Made, and then the audience goes out of their minds
on
this.
Of course, and that makes it much more easier to hear.
And, you know, I guess they're saying that Elizabeth Hasselbeck has... you know, she used to respond to Rosie when she first came on the show by crying.
Uh-huh.
And now she's kind of holding her own. And we'll tell you in a second. It's getting to Ro.
Right.
Even with, what's she at the end of June?
That's about right.
Yeah, it's getting to her. You'll hear what we have to read about this.
And the thing about Hasselbeck, maybe she is having some strength in the fact that the light's at the end of the tunnel.
Ah, yeah. Because she's out the door and she doesn't have to kiss Rosie's ass anymore.
Exactly.
Feeling her oats.
Because I listened the other day, and I think that sometimes you're confusing the word terrorist, because you said, who are terrorists, implying that terrorists could be us, terrorists could be them. What you really mean, I think, is jihadists. We are talking about a particular group of people.
Her teeth always whistled like that.
Who was
that
old lady that we were hearing?
You remember her from the back of Playboy.
Because they do kind of just sit back and...
They are jihadists. Jihadists, please.
Terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about a word. Terrorism that the administration has used to terrify this country.
No,
they're terrorizing Americans by using the word terror and taking away our civil liberties.
All nations use the word terror to describe those.
Does she have a louder microphone than everyone else?
I think she's just louder.
She is just louder, and they don't turn her down anymore,
no,
do they?
No, they don't. They don't.
All right,
they
let's listen to one more.
Will blow someone else up to blow children up. Those are jihadists. Those are extremists. Islamists who are trying to... use their religion to justify killing hundreds of thousands. But
and
when you
what
ask,
I'm saying is, do you not think that we have killed hundreds of thousands?
So who, in the name of what?
Invading Iraq.
So are you then calling us terrorists?
No, I just said it, Elizabeth. Are you not able to hold two concepts at once?
I can hold more than two if you'd like me to. I would like you to hold the idea that there are people out there named terrorists.
There are pregnant women in Iraq just like you, and I will speak for them and you. So we shouldn't be over there killing them.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying that Americans are terrorists.
But I didn't say it. You know who said it? Those crappy cable shows said it. The ones Elizabeth watches.
This is
like high school.
This is great.
Wow. Actually, right. Arguing with the word crappy.
All right, now here's the deal. Rosie has her blog, right? That's the sound of Rosie's blog.
There it is.
Right here.
There it is.
You know, and I tell you, I find it almost impossible to side with either one of them,
yeah,
especially when they're doing the.
And then when Barbara gets involved, it just makes it bitter.
Well, it says, let me see, likening herself on her blog at rosie.com to a senior in high school. Well, she's got that right. The talk queen made it clear that at the end of June and her tenure on the show, it can't come fast enough for her. Well, she's got a poem here, and you decipher this poem because I have no idea what it means.
A reading.
She also addressed the show that we're playing you a clip from, which came under fire for supposedly equating American soldiers with terrorists. You heard him talking about that. Mm-hmm. Several fans wrote to point out that our co-hosts, all of them, Hasselbeck, Behar, and Walters, I like calling them by their last
names. I love just the word Behar.
They seemed to gang up on her, with Babwa giving an especially pointed lesson in definitions of terrorists and jihadists. Rosie's response? It upsets me, frankly, but what can you do? Today was weird. Buckle up, you fans. Should be an interesting few weeks. So I guess she's going to go out just, leveling, burning everything that stands in her way.
As much as I dislike the program and dislike all the people that are involved in it, it's enough to make me peek in every
now. This poem is going
written
to...
Written by Rosie.
By Rosie.
To all the people that care to click and win and what read Rosie.com, I guess.
All right, now figure this out, but please. I'll try to decipher this because I don't understand all of it. I don't read your stupid blog. You are insulting me. What will people think? Goodbye is never easy. A senior in high school. It's sunny, and I want to stay home. Be done. Move on. Remember the drama yearbook signing with bubble letters and perfect hearts? Don't ever change. I will miss you in homeroom. Jesus, there's more of this.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Have a good summer. Keep in touch. Most people don't. It's how life works. In the moment, only fully alive.
Right.
Any Winehouse inspires me. Get her CD. Music, Amy Winehouse inspires me. Amy Winehouse inspires me. Get her CD. Music is essential. Defining decades. Elton's Daniel came out the summer my mom died. Stony silence in the station wagon. Broken up by that sound. Five fingers in a hand. Oh. Aunt Minnie's ring. A family. And I don't get this part.
Okay.
A fist. Gotta kill the questions for a while. The end is always rocky. One must focus.
Wow.
Tonight, Kel's 40th. Loved ones arrived and ready to celebrate all she is. Weenie and Jackie. So laughter is assured. Cheers. All.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
What the F does this mean?
I don't know.
And, you know, she puts stuff like that up all the time.
Well, I don't get it.
Rosie's thoughts.
Rapping in freedom.
So, I mean, like, if you read her blog regularly, this is exactly what you're going to think. All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Can you decipher Rosie's poem?
No, I heard her say something on the, when she was, her and those two hens, when they started clucking, she said something like, I don't want my troops home for invading a country that didn't do anything to us. Play that back and see if that's what she said.
She did say that. We heard that.
Yeah, she did say that. I mean, they're having a cat fight. There's no doubt about that. Everybody's doing that. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentle persons.
I've only seen the view one time, but I am speeding home right now so that I can put it on my TiVo machine.
Yeah, the TiVo machine, because really, I mean, what she's saying, I think, in this blog is that she's laying down the gauntlet for it, and she's saying that, some good stuff is going to come up, so we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But
the view
is
a lot like the Regis program. You only need to watch the first 20 minutes.
So there might be some more cat fights that will come up in the future.
I hope she puts her sights on Behar.
Now, local news, that's another thing that we love. We love the tapes of local news. I said to Rob, please keep an eye on the early morning shows this week because it's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing in the entire wide world. I love local news more than life itself.
Remember yesterday we had the hard-hitting tease about are you sitting too close for your television?
Yes, what do we have today?
Today they've really stepped up their game.
Okay, let's
Here's
listen.
This morning's tease.
Thank you. Tonight on News 4 at 5, are they the answer to your trouble with aching feet? We'll show you the new retractable high heel shoes. That's tonight on News 4. Actually, it's 6.
All right, I'm going to replay that one because I want I believe in detail.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing. That's what they don't count on in local news. They don't think you're going to pay.
Right.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. She said a new retractable high heels. Let's see if there's an S where there shouldn't have been.
And also note that she first says it's at 5, uh-huh. then it's at 6.
Okay, right. Let's listen.
Thank you. Tonight on News 4 at 5, are they the answer to your trouble with aching feet? We'll show you the new retractable high heel shoes. That's tonight on News 4 at 6.
Oh, it's even worse. It's the new retractable high heel shoes. Now, if you're going to say it's a new retractable high heel shoe,
something's wrong there.
That would be fine.
You know, she wouldn't get away with it if it wasn't so damn hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always hot in that studio.
Like to see her in retractable high heels.
Babs Harrison.
Thank you. Tonight on News 4 at 5, are they the answer to your trouble with aching feet? We'll show you the new retractable high heel shoes. That's tonight on News 4. Actually, it's 6.
Oh. Actually, it's 6. So she does cover herself.
That's right.
And well,
God love her.
Now, here is a small montage of Krebs and Harrison. They split the duties.
These are the two geniuses that work for Channel 4. I've loved them forever. I hope they never go away.
And between 6 and 10, they're responsible for filling almost 18 broadcast minutes. So you'll want to listen to this.
Robin Hooey was the commander of the 6th District Police of 6th. Police District. Rodas went to New Mexico to visit his family, who he had had in secret, this family.
God bless you, Rob.
Is charged, or has charged, a D.C. area woman.
Tonight at 5, a place in your area to help you figure out all things
well,
green.
Stop, because I'm going to give you credit for this. Did you do what I asked? Did you edit all the fluffs together?
Yeah, I did.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me set this up the right way, because, Rob, I wasn't giving you enough credit for this. This is good. This is all together during the 18 minutes that they broadcast.
Yeah.
Rob decided that he would edit all the, we call them fluffs in the TV business, all the fluffs. And this is the thing that we talked about. And I think for the rest of the country, you'll understand. These are the morning anchors that cut away to the local Today Show.
Right.
And this is what they give us. This kind of stuff every morning.
Robin Hooey was the commander of the 6th District Police of 6th. Police District. Rodas went to New Mexico to visit his family, who he had in secret, this family. Iran is charged, or has charged, a D.C. area woman.
Tonight at 5, a place in your area to help you figure out all things green.
Evans says that major retailers are looking for information about opportunities in the district. They apparently want to move here.
And in less than an hour, we're expected to find out just how busy a hurricane season.
That's it.
And Krebs and Harrison.
Boy, oh boy. It requires a lot of effort, Rob, but you could do that almost every day.
And one last thing is, I know Burger Jeff, the Tom Kieran, the weatherman, was not in today.
Oh, no, what a tragedy that is.
Chuck Bell was in.
Oh, good.
And
he's one of your favorites, isn't he?
And
I'm not that familiar with Chuck Bell, but I understand he's one of these guys.
Listen to this cutaway from the Today Show and see if you don't like Chuck Bell.
Chuck Bell, ladies and gentlemen.
Vidalia Onions Brock.
Yes.
That him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Al.
Good Vidalia Onion. That's what's going on around the country. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
I definitely agree. Vidalia Onions are about the best thing you can eat. You can eat them like an apple. They're so sweet. Outside this morning, we have sunshine down there on the Kennedy Center alongside the Potomac. Beautiful morning underway. Temperatures are in the 50s in most locations. 59 degrees in downtown Washington right now. It's also 59 in Prince George's County. Fairfax up to 58, 56 in Frederick, Maryland. In Frederick, Maryland. Highs today in the mid-70s. A warming trend as we finish out the weekend. Head to the holiday weekend.
What is the deal? I mean, I understand. Look, we screw up every day. I screw up more than anybody. Everybody screws up. These guys.
There's a gas leak at Channel 4.
There's some sort of lack of oxygen going on down there.
What he had to do is he has his 30 seconds, and that's it. And he just gave up on Frederick, Maryland.
All right.
He didn't say free.
All right, do you have any more Chuck Bell, or is that it?
Want to hear one more?
One more, and then we got to take a break because we got to set something up that I find very, very special.
Here he is paneling with Harrison and Craig.
For everybody that's going to plan on doing something fun for Memorial Day weekend, it looks like the weather will, by and large, be cooperative.
Well, that's good.
It sure is. Thanks a lot. Love it when it cooperates.
Oh, yes.
How's the traffic cooperating out there?
I can't say cooperating.
Or is it cooperating, I guess, is more important.
Hardly ever.
Our tribute to the local news.
They are great. God bless you.
I could do that every day. All right, are you ready, Rob?
Yeah.
All right, let me make a special announcement right now. This is for all of our callers from all over the country except for Sacramento. I'm going to ask you to take a back seat right now. This next segment is something, it's me giving back because I promised this. I've always wanted to do this because I know I get a bad rap. People say that I don't care for the city of Sacramento and surrounding areas.
That.
But ladies and gentlemen, coming up in the next break, it will be time for... Yes, I'm talking about all things Sacramento, ladies and gentlemen. If you live in the fabulous Northern California Mecca of Sacramento, or Modesto, or Chico,
Fresno,
Folsom, Chico, where else? You mentioned Chico.
Fresno,
Chico.
And all surrounding areas.
Surrounding areas, and lovely places, Orangevale. I just saw that.
Citrusburg, Asparagus Town.
Asparagus Town.
And Fruity Town.
It's all about you. You got a call about Sacramento. You're somebody from Sacramento with a question that I can help on. I'm here to offer my advice.
Very good.
Because I care about Sacramentans and the way they live their lives. And right now, we encourage you to get on the air. Anyone from Sacramento can call me with a personal question about their life at 877-365-3636. We're also going to have Sacramento news and Sacramento sports. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's right. It's all about you. Yes, you think I hate you, but it's not true, and that's why we're going to play that fabulous song again. Let's see. Looking forward to talking just to you as we have a fabulous segment known as Good Afternoon, Sacramento. That's coming up next on the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such nature films as Earwigs, Ooh, and Man vs. Nature, The Road to Victory. In a few days, our eggs will hatch into nestlings like these over here.
They look awfully hungry, Mr. McClure.
They sure are, Billy. In nature, their mother would regurgitate food for them to eat.
That's gross.
It sure is, Billy. It sure is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Exactly. Living in a scratch and dent world. Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a very, very nice segment. The segment I've been wanting to do for years. Everybody on the show has told me I shouldn't, but I've always felt it to be very, very important. So please, without further ado, we're going to turn it all over to you, my favorite city in the United States of America. And let's welcome the first edition of
Good Afternoon, Sacramento.
Good afternoon, Sacramento, and now here's our announcer, Buzz Burbank.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Good Afternoon, Sacramento. And now here's your Good Afternoon host, Mike O'Mara.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Mike.
Well, here it is. It's Good Afternoon, Sacramento, the show where we deal with all things Sacramento. The callers, the news, the sports, the weather, anything that matters to anybody in the great capital of the state of California that we know is Sacramento and surrounding areas. It's all about you. Of course, traditionally, we'll be taking your phone calls from Sacramento, and we'll be taking calls on any subject you'd like to chat about, but of course, the prime reason I want you to call is for something about Sacramento. If you live there, it could be anything about you, which I think is kind of special. Before we do that, let's check in on local Sacramento sports. Here's your Sacramento sports, ladies and gentlemen. The River Cats held off the Salt Lake Bees until the ninth inning before bowing 5-3 in the opener of a four-game series at Raley Field.
Oh, we're sorry.
That's Sacramento sports. Let's get right to your phone calls on Good Afternoon, Sacramento. Let's talk to Matt. Matt, good afternoon, Sacramento.
Master Mimic Mike, how are you?
I'm fine.
You're
trying
good,
to keep
huh?
it perky. Yes, the whole idea of Good Afternoon Sacramento is I'm not going to be like my usual self, and we're going to be as positive and pleasant and talk about Sacramento. Whereabouts in Sacramento are you from, Matt?
Woodland.
Woodland. Oh, beautiful, beautiful area out there. Great agricultural area, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right?
Oh, you're very correct.
That's great. You know, I'll give you a honk for that one, Matt. Yeah, everybody gets a honk on Good Afternoon Sacramento. What can we do for you today, Matt?
Well, little do you know, you and Sacramento sleep tight together. You know why? Why
is that?
Because your beloved Red Sox have a second baseman named Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah.
From Woodland.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for the call, Matt. That's great. Well, that's the second honk that he gets for that, Rob. Good job. And it's time for a whale update. You know, the big story in Sacramento is the whales. What's happening to those poor pesky whales? Rob, do you have a whale update for us?
I do. Let's roll that whale update.
It's time
for a whale. Under the watchful eye of the Coast Guard, Delta and Dawn, the wayward humpbacks were gently guided downriver.
Thank you very much. That's your Sacramento whale update. Let's take another call and good afternoon, Sacramento. We go to Max. Max, what part of the Sacramento area are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Sacramento.
South Sacramento. How are you today, Max? What can we do for you?
Well, first of all, the name is Mac, and second of all,
it's Mac. Did you say M-A-C-K?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hi, Mac. How are you? And welcome to Good Afternoon Sacramento.
Well, first of all, this is a black guy, and I know you guys aren't used to that, but...
Oh, now listen, Mac, we've gotten lots of calls from people of color from all over the world, and, you know, on Good Afternoon Sacramento, we are an equal opportunity pleaser. That's the way we like to describe this show, an equal opportunity pleaser, and, you know, I hope that in some way we can say that we've pleased you. All right?
I'm pretty easy to please. I've been drinking all morning, so.
Okay.
Good for you.
What's up, Matt? I think Matt just hung up, unfortunately.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Matt, what's up?
Sir.
Slow day and petty crime? Hey, I'm going to give a honk to the host right there. Matt, you've been drinking all day.
No, not this one.
Okay. Hey, Matt, unfortunately, you know, we've got very little time on Good Afternoon Sacramento. We're going to put you on hold for just a second. I might come back to you. Oh, I guess I hit the wrong button. And it's time for a Sacramento musical interlude. One of Sacramento's favorites.
I love little baby duck.
Thank you very much, Rob. That was a wonderful Sacramento musical interlude. Let's go right to the news of Sacramento. And then later on during Good Afternoon Sacramento, we're going to have a Sacramento trivia contest that I think everybody's really going to enjoy. Here's our Sacramento news. The Defense Department plans to skip cleanup of the largest and most hazardous waste sites at the former McClellan Air Force Base as it transferred the old graves of radioactive and toxic junk to private development. State health officials say the plan is unacceptable and are calling for the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission to intervene. In other Sacramento news, talk about your ups and downs. Scott Carrera anticipates about 250,000 of them this weekend as he attempts to break the 17-year-old world record for pogo stick jumping.
Yeah.
The Orangevale resident, he's 34, you know, he plans to start at 2 p.m. Saturday at Cal Expo and bounce for 24 hours with a five-minute rest each hour. And I give him a honk for that one. Oh, yes. In our final Sacramento Good Afternoon story, a man and a woman are in jail, and Citrus Heights police seek a third suspect after a botched purse snatch turned into a full-blown strong-arm robbery late Wednesday night in the parking lot outside the Fireside Lanes in the 7900 block of Auburn Boulevard. Mm. The victim saw two women, later identified police as Crystal Marie Foster and Amanda Miller, grab her purse off a counter and run out of the bowling center at about 11:43 p.m.
I've seen it before.
The women pursued Foster and Miller to the parking lot where the car was waiting. Miller kicked and slugged the woman as she tried to grab her purse back. Well, we hope everybody ends up okay in that one and the justice is served. Let's get a whale update for those pesky whales that everybody's so concerned about. This is Good Afternoon Sacramento.
We have a spotting directly off of Pike Port Beam.
On the shore, a crowd of well-wishers gathered.
Good afternoon, Sacramento.
Time to take another call on Good Afternoon Sacramento. Let's go right to our... Is it Greg? Are we speaking to you? Good Afternoon Sacramento. This is Greg. How are you, Greg?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. O'Mara?
I'm doing just fine and no need for the formalities on Good Afternoon Sacramento. You can call me Michael.
Yes, sir, Michael.
Please, as a matter of fact, for this particular segment, I would require everyone to call me Michael. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing fine, my liege.
That's wonderful. What can we do for you? Is anything, you know, really what I like to get on these calls for Good Afternoon Sacramento are personal advice calls, because that's what I really like to dole out, is help to people in my favorite city. What can we do for you, Greg?
I have a query for you, please, sir.
Share your query with me, query.
Do you have any pictures of you and Beluga that you could put on your website for me to enjoy?
As a matter of fact, I don't have any on the website, but maybe I could send one to you personally. Let me put you on hold, and I'll get right to that. Oh, unfortunately, I've hit the wrong button again. Time for another Sacramento, a Sacto musical interlude.
Old pickup trucks, slow-moving trains, and rain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Good Afternoon Sacramento. Time for more of your calls, and I sure hope you're enjoying this. This is the show that speaks directly and only, exclusively, to the people of the Sacramento region. But listen, Modesto, Chico, Folsom, all you other wonderful areas.
Bakersfield.
Well, that's a little far away, isn't it, Rob?
Our signal gets there.
Does it get there?
It does.
Fantastic. Let's see what this gentleman wants. Is this Logan?
Yes.
Hi, Logan. You're on Good Afternoon Sacramento. What can we do for you?
How are you doing?
I could not be better. And please, if you're going to refer to me personally, call me Michael.
How are you doing, Michael?
Wonderful, Logan.
This city sucks whale balls.
Oh, I won't accept that. Not on this particular program. I am really, really sorry. That is unacceptable, and that's the one thing we will not welcome here on Good Afternoon Sacramento. Hey, it's time for another whale update. Let's find out what's happening with those pesky whales out in the Sacramento River. Are we going to do that right now, Rob? We're having a technical difficulty with our whale update.
I think I have it.
All right, let's see if we've got it.
Under the watchful eye of the Coast Guard, Delta and Dawn, the wayward humpbacks, were gently guided downriver.
Hold on, I've got that. The bell should be ringing. Do we have the bell? The bell should... Oh, that's right. That means it's time for our next caller gets to participate in a Sacramento trivia contest. Hold on a second. Dan, is it you?
Yes, it is.
All right, listen to me, Dan. Thank you for calling me Michael on Good Afternoon Sacramento. Dan, this is a very special moment for you. I'm going to give you a very special prize if you can answer our first Sacramento trivia question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here you go, Dan. And, Dan, you're are you from Modesto?
Yes, I am.
I think this will work for you, then. The 15th Pacific Rim Street Fest, which takes place today, is held here. Is it A, Discovery Park, B, Memorial Auditorium, C, Midtown, or D, Old Sacramento?
Take
your time. Old Sacramento. All right, let me see what the answer is.
The answer is...
I don't seem to have it here anywhere. We've got the three. You know, we don't have it anywhere, but let me do this, Dan. I'm going to put you on hold, and if you're correct, we're going to get that prize right to you, okay?
And, Michael, I have a question, too. We need some help.
Oh, that's fine. That's what I'm here for on Good Afternoon Sacramento. What can I do for you, Dan?
Well, Modesto just got the honor of coming in absolute last on the most livable city in the United States.
Absolute last. Yes, I do. You know what? A matter of fact, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to answer that question. Now, I understand that, I'd like to give that advice, but we have to take one more Sacramento musical interlude before we answer his question.
I love
I forgot what the question was. Let's move on to Robert, who's got another question for me. Hi, Robert. It's Good Afternoon, Sacramento. I'm Michael O'Mara.
Good afternoon, Michael. I have two questions for you.
Thanks so much. I'll take the first one first.
Would I be granted amnesty?
For what?
For the citizenship.
Oh, are you an immigrant?
I am.
Well, I can only hope so. What's your second question, Robert?
Would the Sacramento Kings win the lottery tonight?
The Sacramento Kings will win the lottery. I hope so. And, you know, listen, I know a lot of jokes are made about your team possibly moving to Las Vegas, Nevada. I think people should not worry about that and focus on the fact that you're simply the best fans in the NBA. Can we all agree on that one?
I agree on that.
That's absolutely true. That deserves a honk. And, it's time for a Sacramento... Oh, I have to drop him. It's time for a Sacramento mystery artist. Let's hear our Sacramento mystery artist for the day. First person that can call me at 877-365-3636 with the Sacramento mystery artist will win a very special prize that we'll give you as soon as we put you on hold. Only time for a couple of more calls on Sacramento Good Afternoon or Good Afternoon Sacramento. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, you're on Good Afternoon Sacramento.
Michael, I have a question.
Thank you for calling me, Michael.
Thank you. It might be more of a panel question.
All righty.
I live a little south of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. What town would that be?
Turlock.
Turlock, yes. Turlock. Yeah. Can you hold on just a second? because we need to get a whale update. Let's get a whale update before we go back to that question.
Seasonal migration north from Mexico. They made a wrong turn.
Good afternoon, Sacramento.
Let's go to this next individual on Good Afternoon, Sacramento. Hi, just a time for probably one or two more. Yes, it's you.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, Sacramento. I'm Michael O'Mara, and it's time to talk to you.
Well, good day, Michael. I'd just like to wish you a warm
I'm sorry, the host will not accept mimicry. All right, one more call on Good Afternoon, Sacramento. Yes, go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Michael, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
First of all, your mystery artist, Tiny Tim.
Oh, I am terribly sorry, Richard. We're not going to have time to get to your question because that music indicates that we have run out of time for this edition of Good Afternoon, Sacramento.
Doesn't it happen every time we do Good Afternoon, Sacramento?
Fortunately, we were able to get to some of our other trivia questions, like who founded the Pacific Rim Street Fest, which first took place in 1993. But I want to thank everybody and tell everybody out there that, you know, Northern California and Sacramento and the entire area, you should hold your head high. You give us great things like asparagus, tomatoes. You give us beautiful, beautiful people and smart people, too. And don't forget, Sacramento, you're special and you make everybody around you special. So that's all the time we have, and we'd like to finish with our favorite song from Sacramento.
I love Little Baby Duck.
Join us next time, and I hope we have more time. And I want to thank each and every one of you. God bless you, Sacramento, and keep your head held high. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. This week, I want to talk to you about sex crimes, but I am a convicted sex offender. I joined with sexual predators, teaching them to lure children into sex crimes. I'm tipping the scale of justice in favor of the violators, not the victims, period. Thank you very much for listening.
The Don and Mike Show.
Subsisting on a solid diet of quickies, Don and Mike.
All right, time for us to get an old friend of the Don and Mike Show on the air right now. From the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, and now a famous cable TV superstar.
Yeah.
Let's welcome our old friend Dennis Hoff, and we also have one. Now, is this one of your new girls, Brooke Taylor?
Well, she's the star of our new series, and I happen to also date her. It's Brooke Taylor. You can see her on our site. She's beautiful, blonde, she was a fan of the show. And she used to sit around and make herself happy watching our show. And one day she got on our message board, and here she is.
Oh, my. Wow. Well, hi, Brooke. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Now, Brooke, I'm going to have a lot of questions for you about because you had you have a wonderful story about an encounter you had recently. But I want to cover some ground with old Dennis here, if I can do that for a second. Dennis, how's tricks?
things are humping here at the Bunny Ranch. And we're just humping right along. The HBO show has blown us through the roof. I mean,
now that's Cat House. It's and this year it's called what's Cat House Season 2?
Yeah, actually it's our fourth season,
right?
Fourth year, but it's our second full season. The show's so popular now they don't even give the public an 11-week series. They give them one show a month.
You know, I got to tell you something, Dennis. Watching that show, and I do look in on it a lot of times. It absolutely blows me away that you have guys that come out to the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and will allow themselves to, you know, that will sign the releases to let them. And the one guy that comes to mind, I think he like flies in on a helicopter, and you know, he's a rich guy that flies in, and he doesn't care a bit. You got him on tape doing everything.
Yeah, absolutely. But here's what happens now. When we film, we put a big sign out there to let people know we're filming, but the word seems to get out, and these guys just come out of the woodwork wanting to be on the show. Brooke has had them do some wild things. In the show that's out right now, Brooke Taylor actually did a ring toss with a guy.
Wow.
Get the visual.
I bet I know exactly how that's
what you would think it is, right?
Exactly. What happens, you have like three girls in there, and Brooke was doing a ring toss, And the girl that he had different. How? What kind of rings did they have, Biz?
There was all different sizes. There was small ones, big ones.
Oh dear.
Probably ones in between.
Yes. All
there were
sorts
ones
of
in between.
Different sizes.
And if you hit the jackpot, what did you get?
Well, you got to provide him with some pleasure.
Oh my, yes.
That
well,
was our prize.
We're sure that goes on like that. Brooke, how long have you been at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch?
The ring talk.
I've been at the ranch now for about a year and a half.
A year and a half, and how are things going for you out there?
Fabulous.
And then Dennis, once again, you're in love, aren't you?
I am. I just love Brooke. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. We were in New York just recently, and we did about 10 TV shows about this D.C. madam. And
what is your take on her, incidentally? What do you think of the D.C. madam?
Well, you know, I look at Washington, D.C. and say, what the hell were you thinking? You got a chick that just got out of prison. You gave her an escort license when she lived in California on probation. Are they that stupid where they can't run somebody's name through Google?
Yes. Well, but I guess in the code of people doing what you do, I mean, that's just about the worst thing you can do as far as release names, right?
This is the biggest rule. This is the ironclad rule that you never break. And obviously this gal was grabbing this information for a long period of time with anticipation of getting arrested. And she's a wannabe Heidi Fly, so I think she's Madame Scumbag.
Yeah, well, wow. You know, and really this is turning out to be not the biggest story that people thought because the names are not nearly as significant, apparently. And
well,
I mean, I think the story's pretty much dead and buried.
I think you're wrong. Here's what I think.
You think there are going to be some big names that are going to come up out of this?
The names are there, but ABC got, at the last minute, I'm sure got the word from Mickey Mouse, you better back off on this. You're going to get some of our friends. And those ABC execs fell apart like their cheap suits and just cut the piece down to nothing. The piece got cut down to nothing. There's no substance to it.
So there's nobody on the list that's at least not anybody on the... You think they're feeling pressure from the government? Is that where that's coming from?
No, I think it's the ABC Disney people found out there was people that they like and support on that list. I'm just Brian Ross. Well, he's got to be just furious about this whole thing because they were acting like the National Enquirer of the media business, and then they come up with no story.
Now, I would imagine that as far as your show, Cat House, now that you've got the show on HBO, and it's this is an important question, Dennis,
yes,
for anybody that might be going out to the Nevada area and wants to maybe have a little fun, but they might be a little freaked out by the fact that, you know, you walk into your joint, you're going to have cameras everywhere. What do you say to the people that are worried about that?
Well, and I'm glad you brought it up because it is a concern. And you know, you guys broadcast here. Your show is so popular here in Reno, and you get a lot of people listening.
Thank you.
The thing is, you have to sign a release. You can't be in the show unless you agree to be in the show, and you have to sign a release. Now, it's pretty simple. We have big signs out in front when we're filming that says we're filming. Please come in. You will not be filmed unless you want to be. And if you want to be, you have to provide positive identification and sign a release.
And the show has improved your bottom line?
Oh, it's skyrocketed. It's the quality of the girls. If you go to the bunnyranch.com site and look at the girls, look at Brooke. You're going to be blown away. Like,
I got to give you your plug. I said I would, Dennis. It's bunnyranch.com. That's the website, right?
Thank you.
Okay.
And we had Brooke and my guy had Brooke Taylor and Bunny Love were both on Tucker Carlson's show last week.
How's that madam? Who's that? What's that name of that lady, the madam that kind of takes care of all the girls for you out there?
Suzette. She's here today, in fact.
Suzette. Please, Dennis, give her my best.
I will.
How long has it been?
you know who just walked out was the gal that took care of business in the studio.
Yes, yes. We hate to remind our censors of that. I remember that day. That was, you know something? I mean, things have changed dramatically, Dennis, in the radio industry, but that was a particular day when... let me tell you something. Even back then, that got us in a whole heck of a... That was Wendell Hall, who no longer works for the company, but I know you made Wendell's day very special.
I made his life.
We did. Yeah, that's true. You did. You really did.
We changed his life. You know it. I know it.
Dennis, since you've been doing this reality show and there are cameras there at the ready, do you have people that come in that you think are into that aspect of it? People that come there just because they're going to be on TV?
Yes, but what happens is we have this message board on the site that's like 13,000 people post on, and so the word gets out on the site, and all of a sudden when we start filming, people are showing up. Mm-hmm. A lot of couples want to be on the show. We had a midget just recently coming on the show.
Oh, hello. A little person. Thank you, Buzz.
A little person.
So, well, you know, if you say little person, you're going to get more little people coming to your place there.
True.
This happens.
You like that one, huh, Brooke?
Yeah, baby.
Well,
Brooke is so cute.
She sounds cute, Dennis.
I have
her picture right here. She looks pretty cute, too.
But the difference is that she's in an office sitting across from me, and she's naked right now.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Are
you wearing, Dennis?
That's not necessary.
Oh, just my pantyhose.
Oh, please. You had to ask. Brooke, you spend most of your time naked at the ranch?
Of course. That's the best way to be.
It is the best way to be. And you got turned on to the show here's the picture, Rob. Rob is actually showing a genuine interest in that.
I had you pictured with longer hair.
No, she had
hi,
very
Rob.
Short.
Oh, hi, Brooke.
Brooke was in the real world. She was a professional.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I worked as a case manager for adults with developmental disabilities, and I liked HBO, and so I started watching Cat House, and I became very addicted to it.
Now, what is the attraction? Because, you come out of this, and this is not the first time that somebody has seen this show and come on to your Moonlight Bunny Ranch and actually decided to take up this life. I would think it would be very unusual. What motivated you to do that, Brooke?
Well, I mean, there was many things that motivated me. I think a lot of people use the show that come in. They didn't maybe necessarily know about legalized prostitution. I didn't know about the Bunny Ranch or about brothels or that it was legal in Nevada. That was all new to me. And I think from watching the show, you see that we're normal girls. You know, we're not the stereotypical prostitute, what everybody's idea of a hooker is. And there was many reasons why I came. I came to have fun. I came because I'm young. I'm single. I have no kids. And why not make some money and have a great time while I'm doing it?
She went from a professional to a hoe-fessional.
I get it.
Now, speaking of hoe, we got to get to this because we don't have a whole bunch of time here. But let's get to this hoe thing. Now, John Norman came to me with this today that I didn't know whether it was both of you or just you, Brooke, that you had a run-in with the Reverend Al Sharpton, who obviously has been in the news quite a bit and was very, you know, in the middle of the hoe controversy where that word was used. And you bumped into Reverend Al?
Well, here's what happened.
Okay, tell me, Dennis.
Sean Hannity did Hannity's America from here, and he will tell the world that Brooke Taylor is his favorite hooker, and here's Sean Hannity liking a hooker. So
interesting because Sean Hannity is one of my favorite stains. Okay, go ahead, continue,
good for
Dennis.
You.
Yeah,
good
sorry
for
about
you.
That. Yes, man cow and Sean Hannity,
neck
right?
Neck.
You know, two stains side by side. But
oh,
go ahead,
I
interrupt.
I
go ahead, please.
That is so funny. So Brooke has done Hannity and Combs. And so have I, and then Hannity's America comes here. Now, we're in New York last week doing all these TV shows to promote our new show with Brooke and the Ring Toss. Now, so that's just part of the show.
Yes, God, we heard about the... Yes, go ahead, Dennis.
So, the Price is Right.
So now, we did this show called Red Eye. It's a late-night show on Fox.
Uh-huh.
And then after the show was over, the producer says, Sean Hannity wants to see you, him and Alan. So we went over to their studio where they were filming. It just got over. And here's the players. Bernard McGurk, Imus's producer.
Right. Oh, that was a very famous appearance on that show, I think. Yeah.
Sharpton, about 10 Fox security guards, all the cheap suits hanging around, and Sean Hannity. So we walk up, and Hannity's like, oh, Brooke, Bunny, my favorite girl. And we're hanging out, talking, and then we get introduced to McGurk, and you know, which I support McGurk. I hate that whole deal.
Right, as we do, too. It's very frustrating.
And I made it real, real plain. Mm-hmm. And so then now it's time for the girls to meet Sharpton. Now, then, Uncle Al, he's all about these hot blondes having fun. Oh, hi, girls, and put the arm around them.
Oh, yeah, he was all talkative, and he wanted to know everything about us.
Did he now?
Oh, yeah, he was very friendly. Well, it was sort of the person standing next to him sort of initiated the conversation.
So you were just introduced to Sharpton, and, you know, you were just asked to say hello.
Yeah, just saying hi.
hi.
But he knows.
His manager was there with him, and the manager's a big fan of the show.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So was so, anything, but he didn't know anything about the Bunny Ranch or anything like that?
No,
okay.
No. So he asked us, you know, he said, so what are you doing there here in New York? And so I told him, you know, we're promoting our new episode of our show on HBO called Cat House. And he was like, oh, that's cool. And it comes on the first of the month, right?
And he's
after
still
the,
not, you don't, you think he's still not clicking with the fact that it's.
Oh, he had no idea.
Okay,
he had no
very
idea.
Good.
He
okay.
was smiling ear to ear. He was just happy to be around two hot blondes.
All right,
at that
very
point.
Good.
But, you know, we were talking about how our new episode was coming on after HBO's big boxing match, and he thought that would be great. And so then he started asking, you know, what is the Cat House about? And so I told him
okay.
about the Bunny Ranch and our lives at the Bunny Ranch. And he said, well, what is the Bunny Ranch? And so I explained to him what the Bunny Ranch was and that I am a real live hoe. And sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I'm a nappy headed hoe.
Oh my God. What did he say after that?
He didn't. He was
blown. You could have hit him with a baseball bat and not got his attention.
No, he absolutely said nothing after
he
that?
He said nothing. His Speaking. Mouth, his jaw dropped.
Right.
All the color in his face disappeared, and he just turned around. He sharply just turned around and
oh,
wanted
that
nothing
fantastic.
Else to do with us.
Oh, my God. That was it. So he had no idea about the show.
No.
Oh, and did you actually say I'm a hoe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She said, I'm a hoe. I'm a hoe, and in the morning I am a nappy headed hoe.
Oh my God! And that was the end of that. Well, that's fantastic. Well, when are we going to see the next episode of Cat House on HBO? When's that coming,
well,
Dennis?
The one that's out now is airing until June, and in June we put out a new show.
They're going to do one a month, right? Isn't that the way that works?
One a month. It's so popular. It on demand now is the new way of rating these shows, and we are the highest rated show. We beat Sopranos on demand. We beat everything.
Wow. It doesn't surprise me one little bit. And you know, I was going to ask one more question for you, Dennis. When you're walking around the street now, obviously your profile much higher. You've done a lot. You did a lot of radio leading up to this, so you were on a lot of radio shows. But as far as you know, now being recognizable because you are, you know, the main guy on that. Do you get any grief on the street when you see people? I mean, do people give you any crap when you're walking around?
Well, the hardest part about the whole thing is young, hot civilian chicks coming on to me, and I tell them no because I don't mess around with a civilian girl. And Brooke will tell you when we're in New York, we had a girl in a nightclub want me to take her virginity. Remember that? That's the only grief I get is I don't mess around with these civilian girls.
Good for you. It's a tough life being you, Dennis, isn't it?
Let me give you what Sharpton said, because George Rush from Rush and Malloy calls
okay.
him, right?
Okay.
And Sharpton says, I was shocked. I just finished an hour debate with the apostles of decency in the temple of the right wing. It was a little innocuous.
That's fantastic. Well, good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Brooke, I say this with 100% sincerity, you're a lovely hoe. You truly are, and your picture, and I look forward to seeing you on TV. And Dennis, yeah, you're the man. You're always doing
Absolutely.
A great job.
And when you guys want to help out the military again, you call me. I'm down for it.
Absolutely. You're a good man, Dennis, and
thank
good luck
you.
With everything.
No business like hoe business.
Okay, take
Bye.
Care, guys.
Bye.
That's Dennis Hoff, and also his latest Ho, Brooke Taylor,
what
and
vagina?
BunnyRanch.com, and the show, I think it is called Cat House Season 2.
Right.
I think that is what
correct.
It is.
I hear wedding bells.
What? No, what? He will never do that.
I know.
That's a lot of the drama on that show is like he brings one in, you know, his new one of the flavor of the month, and
right.
then he moves on to another one like that.
He likes
guy.
That flavor.
He likes. Well, he's in the right business for it, I guess.
He is.
He does like the blonde.
He does.
He likes the toothy blonde.
Uh-huh. Like the toothy blonde, doesn't like a slim girl.
No, he likes a big boned girl. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a fat skeleton, though? I always say that. I don't know. No, I mean, that's an interesting show, so I'll be
and
watching
And he's
it.
Very good-looking.
Dennis.
Now look what you did.
What have I done?
You've got
oh,
him,
dear.
Got him
Dennis Hoff.
Wheezing like Hillary.
He's just dreamy.
He really is.
All right, Buzz, listen, you ready to wrap up this 24 thing?
I think we should, yeah.
You have a very difficult interview. You will be interviewing Powers Booth and William Devane when we come back.
May I offer this?
Yes.
Please don't make them laugh.
I'll try
Do not
to.
Make them laugh. That is forbidden. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You're right, Jack. It wasn't fair of me to put all this on you, to blame you for what happened to Audrey. I know the sacrifices you've made. I know this country owes you
life back. And I want it now. Andre's all I've got. And you can't stop me. In case you've forgotten, I'm very good at disappearing. And if you try sending someone after us, I'll kill him. Pretty good at that, too.
Simply getting your life back, Jack, isn't going to change who you are. And you can't walk away from it. You know that. You've tried it. Sooner or later, you're going to get back in the game. And my daughter's going to pay the price, like your wife did.
Dagger. Mean. Mean man.
You son of a bitch.
Jack.
Secretary Heller.
I beg you, just stop for a moment and think. Think, Jack. You won't be able to take care of her the way you want to.
Good afternoon, Sacramento.
Don and Mike
Show.
Suck it all. Don and Mike.
Yeah.
We're back on the Don and Mike Show. Buzz, before we get to your exclusive interview with a couple of Hollywood legends.
Pretty exciting.
Got a few interesting things here. This one jumped out at me. This one stung me today. It says Mick Jagger may have used bees to try to make his thing bigger.
Bees.
You know, we're always interested in these kind of stories.
They're ripping my flesh off.
Bees on your bees.
Natural male enhancement is a big advertising catchphrase these days, but it doesn't get more natural than what Mick Jagger tried to do to enhance himself in Mexico. Back in 1981.
Although there were Mexican bees.
That was before or after the Sticky Fingers album.
It was all the way back in 81. How did he hold on to this for this long? Apparently, back in 81, Julian Temple, who was with the Rolling Stones directing their Undercover of the Night video, says Mick tried to use bee sting to swell himself up down there. Temple says, quote, it involved putting bamboo over
naturally
and filling it with stinger bees so that the attain the size of the bamboo. Mick spent months in the jungle in Peru. He was going mad out there. This guy has to be British. He was going mad out there, I think. Temple says this was some kind of Amazonian marriage ritual, all right?
Now, so, should Mick Jagger really need that?
I don't know. Well, that's apparently he is renowned for being small. That's his rap.
What I've heard is that no one can live up to the reputation of being Mick Jagger.
Well, I suppose that's
not
true.
Even Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
We have an expert that could comment on it.
Okay, let's hear it. Joe, you don't have to come in here, Joe, just from the back room. Is that known about Mick? Does he have that kind of rap?
What's that?
Thank you. Joe, have you been listening to the show?
I was just reading about an X-ray van.
An X-ray van?
Yeah.
What's an X-ray van?
It's a spy van.
And are you eating right now?
No.
What are you, high? No!
Doesn't he sound different today?
What day is it? It's Tuesday?
It's Tuesday, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I was doing the Sacramento thing at like 8:30 in the morning, so the cords weren't too warmed up.
Does Mick Jagger have a small thing? Is that what he's known for, that he doesn't have a...
No, I don't date the guy.
Well, I mean, you know everything about the Stones.
I hear that he's a wonderful and caring lover.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
I don't like the stinging, but I don't mind the swelling.
We talked about Paula falling and breaking your nose.
And will you tune in tonight?
Are you going to watch? You said you wouldn't, but now she has the broken nose, and so there's this temptation to watch. Will you watch?
I will look in at the very beginning to see Paula's nose. Once the judges are introduced, I will, introduced, as it were.
How's that?
I will tune back to the Red Sox-Yankees game.
All right.
I will not watch.
They have commercials during baseball.
I cannot watch. I will not watch.
We'll see.
I'll get a nice, cool gun. Do you care that Trump may have to do another Apprentice, whether he wants to or not? Do you care about that?
I don't.
I don't care about that. Heather Mills getting $200 million of Paul's money.
That I care about a little.
A lot.
I don't. Good news for Herr Hasselhoff. What that is basically is they went to court. It was about custody. I guess he was banned from having custody when all that stuff went down.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
And when they came out of the courtroom, there's a gag order, so none of them can talk about anything. He was happy. She was happy.
Ah.
I think that's over now.
He sounded happy on that tape.
Fred Goldman will finally get some money from OJ all the time. That's all we hear is about Fred Goldman. I hope he gets money from the guy. Nelson Mandela wants the Spice Girls to get back together for his birthday party.
Sure.
Who doesn't?
For his birthday party.
I bet you that's a great party.
How old is Nelson Mandela now?
I would guess seven. Oh, John has an answer. John?
He will be turning 89.
That old?
Wow.
He's going to get 70.
Shocker, Joan Rivers is for plastic surgery. And Roger Daltrey doesn't understand how concerts help the planet. And Styx, gay bassist, has a new book.
I can't imagine that the band that recorded Lady would have anybody in it that's
really? Exactly.
All right. Without further ado, let's bring them both in here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to step out for just a second.
Don't go far, Mike. We are very, very lucky today to have the opportunity. The night after the season finale of another exciting season of 24, we've got the rare opportunity to speak with both the William Devane and Powers Booth. Who do we have on the line with us first? Hello? Gentlemen?
Hello.
Either of you.
This is William Devane.
Ah, Mr. Devane, good to speak with you.
I'm sitting right next to him.
Oh, I'm Powers Booth.
Powers Booth.
Yeah, you got both of us right here.
Vice President Daniel.
Yeah.
Noah Daniels.
Uh-huh. Noah Daniels.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today, the morning after, the day after your season finale?
Which one of us are you talking to?
Well, either one of you. Either one that would care to answer.
Well, if you're going to talk to one of us, and you know, you should the questions to the individual. That might be easier for the impressionist, dumbass.
Since you've got the attitude, Powers Booth, I'll ask William Devane, how do you feel the morning after the season finale?
I feel vindicated.
Really?
I feel completely and totally vindicated that finally my character was able to show his chops and show what he could do. And I just regret the producers didn't have the foresight to actually continue on with more character development for Secretary Heller.
Mr. Devane, you wanted something perhaps you could...
Who are you?
Oh, hi, I'm Rob.
I was told I'd be speaking with this gentleman,
My friend Rob Spiewak.
Now, are you trying to confuse?
Far
is that
from
what
it.
You're trying? What you're
far
trying to
it.
Do?
Divide
I've got a couple of whippersnappers here that are not showing me the proper amount of respect. Respect
Sorry,
involves setting up an interview the proper way, not confusing me,
True.
Making me talk to two people instead of one.
Uh-huh.
We actually have two actors here.
We do.
Yes.
We have two actors here, and what you're doing is you're making me speak to two people with two actors. That's just not going to work, gentlemen.
I'm sorry, Mr. Devane.
I'm going to tell you that right now, Jack. You're totally out of line.
We're very big fans of you, Mr. Devane.
Which one of you? You're both speaking at the same time.
This is Buzz again.
And Powers is here, too. What? He's available for the interview.
How does Powers feel about being interviewed by two people?
Don't talk to me in third person, ass.
Well, I was talking to Devane.
Ah, you want to talk to Devane?
Not
talk
really.
To him. Give back the microphone.
You're both very confused. This is not making any sense. And my head's on a goddamn swivel in here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, let's settle down and ask some questions. And if they're proper questions, I'll attempt to answer them to the best of my ability about the show, but more importantly, about my very lengthy career in television and film.
Didn't mean to confuse you, but we are huge
Now, are
fans.
You the one I'll be speaking
yes,
with?
Yes, hi, it's me, Buzz, again, Mr. Devane.
Let me
Devane.
Turn and face you.
The
All
majority
right.
of the time,
Well,
Buzz
who the
be...
hell are you speaking again?
Now,
Why are you
done.
Talking?
I was just trying to clear
Please.
It up.
Slap him.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, Slap him in the mouth.
Yeah, you got
Go ahead.
Both mad at
Slap
you.
Him right in the mouth.
We're huge fans, Mr. Devane.
Who's a fan? God damn it, I'm talking to two people.
All
now you get me all confused. Who are you?
I'm Buzz.
I'm Powers Booth.
Hi, very nice to meet you, Mr.
Pleased
Booth.
To meet you, son.
Fascinated by your role this season, especially the turnaround, and then last episode where suddenly you seemed to be a nicer guy than we'd seen all season.
Which guy are you talking to,
I'm speaking to you, Powers Booth, Vice President Daniels.
Yeah, whatever.
You turned nice in the last episode. What happened?
Yeah. I'd like more specific question about my character. My character development was very, how shall we say, complicated.
I have a very specific question for Powers Booth.
All right, now, my friend, Mr. Devane,
right,
is getting agitated due to the fact that he was told
right,
that we were going to be interviewed by one particular individual.
If we can just put that aside for now. I've got a very specific question.
I don't want to put it aside. Do you understand me, boy?
I can guarantee this one question you'll love answering.
All right, I'll answer your question if it's valid.
It's valid.
Yeah.
Your presence on the show this year has really changed the complexion of the series. Would you care to comment?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Why? Why are you always doing that smirking and snickering in the background?
I'm not.
You know, this is the way you're doing it, and I'm going to explain this. You got two veteran actors with an incredible resume.
What?
And you are giggling, and he's snickering at the same time, and that's just not going to work.
We're just having fun.
We're just having fun. Well, why don't you make your guests have fun and feel a little bit more welcome?
Well, we're trying.
I think that'd be a fine idea. Really, don't you agree, Bill?
I couldn't agree more pointedly. This is highly embarrassing, and this is really starting to piss me off.
Then I apologize.
Well, you should apologize.
Yeah.
Don't you realize what I've done? I've played Kennedys. I've been on Knots Landing.
You have.
Powers Booth was the Reverend Jim Jones, Emmy nominated.
Right.
Loved him.
Get your act together, both of you. You're appearing to be like horses' asses.
So, Mr. Devane, for you, is this a role you could really sink your teeth into this season? That's my friend Rob laughing.
Let me explain something to you.
Thank you, Mr. Devane.
Oh, now look what you've done.
This is going to be a serious concept.
All right.
I'd like both of you to make a realization here.
We'll try.
Okay.
I've got a team of lawyers and agents that would turn you guys into absolute creamery butter.
I'm sure
you understand what I'm talking about?
I do.
I do understand.
So I understand you're talking about my oversized teeth and my overbite that I've been known in Hollywood for a number of years.
Talking about your great role on the show this season.
I think you're being insincere, and I think I'm being as uncooperative a witness as you're going to get.
I can see
all
that.
All right? And if I swear to God, if I could come through that glass window and get you around the throat, I'd take care of you right now.
Lucky break for all of us.
Settle down.
I agree with him.
It's not like we made a comment about Powers Booth, pockmarked skin.
That's nice. Pockmarked skin, big teeth. Why are we sitting here? We got nothing to say here. This thing's over.
No, it's good.
It's you both.
I'm pissing. What's going on is I'm being confused because I'm doing two voices being interviewed by two people, for Christ's sake. This is hard to do.
It's simple
Don't
enough.
You understand?
Mr. Booth, will you be back on 24 next season?
Now, that's what I'm talking about,
what?
Boy.
What?
Mr. Booth.
Uh-huh.
That's what I like to hear.
Well, sure.
Will I be on the show?
Yes, sir. Yes,
it's a complicated answer. They have not exactly let me know the details of my character, but I sure would like to do another season. I think we could get a lot of mileage out of Noah Daniels.
So do I.
I think he did a fine job as the vice president, and I'm not sure whether I will continue. But if I continue, I know I'll continue quite well and quite thoroughly with the character.
And, Mr. Devane, will you be back on 24 next year?
I'm not sure.
same answer, then, essentially. Nobody knows yet.
I mean, why are you asking me questions I don't know the answers
now,
to? What I'd appreciate would be a question or two that might involve me being knowledgeable of what the answers are, but with all your snickering and your chattering and your gibbering, that's not going to happen.
All right, Mr. Devane and Mr. Booth, this is a question that you can both answer in tandem.
I hope it's not classified.
It's not classified.
You're on a slippery slope, boy.
No, you're going to like this, I think.
I'm going to like it, and he's going to like it.
It involves character development.
You mean we're both going to like it?
I think you're both going to like it.
I doubt that.
Okay, now, we learned last night that Chloe was pregnant. Did either of you ball her?
Either one of you done?
Mr. Devane, you go first.
Powers, would you like to answer that first?
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Wow.
I'm going to answer honestly.
If you're
not going to raise objections, Powers. I'm talking to Powers.
Oh, sorry.
If you want to go ahead and answer that any way you see fit, that's fine with me, Bill.
Now, I'm going to answer it honestly. We both balled her.
Oh, so either one of you could be the father.
Yeah.
Well,
now, we're not talking about the characters on the show. We're talking about in real life.
Oh, you're talking about Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Mary Lynn Rice Club. Otherwise known as the Set Pump.
Oh, wow. Is she really?
That's right. Absolutely. I find her stimulating and all woman, 100% woman. You know that.
I told you you'd like the question.
I tell you, she's a beautiful lady. I'd like to see her on a screensaver someday.
Well, you should stop by her producer's office.
Oh, really? The boy's got good taste.
Yes, he does.
No more personal questions about the set of 24. I accept no more of those. You're causing trouble, boy.
All right.
I couldn't agree more.
What about the new format? Have you heard anything about the new format for 24 next year?
I haven't heard anything about any format.
It must be classified.
That is classified. I just want to say that I'm deeply dissatisfied with the kind of questions you two have asked.
Well, not happy?
Yes, I would like questions along the lines of congratulations on a wonderful career.
Well, that's not a question.
It is a question that's if you follow it up with if you're sitting. Now you're getting argumentative. Don't you understand?
Sorry, I mean
people's lives are on the line.
I mean the
everything you touch, everything you go near turns to being dead.
No, that's Jack. That's not me.
What do you want?
I wanted to tell both
I'm sorry, this is Powers Booth. I'll answer for him because I'm closest to you.
I wanted to tell
isn't that kind of weird the way
is.
I put Powers on the right side and Devane on the left side?
I'll tell both of you this.
Very strange.
Very strange.
Congratulations on a wonderful career, don't you think?
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
It's a question. In the form of a comment.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, you know what I say? I say we're both going to get out of here.
I agree with you. We're leaving right
Thank
now.
You, Thank you.
Congratulations. You both can go straight to hell.
Wow. I agree. Whiskey for everybody. All you want.
Thank you, Power.
So long, boys. Hey, you know what? Hold on. Before I leave,
yes,
I tell you, we're going to walk out right now. And as I make my way out of the studio, I do believe they have this one card they handed me.
A card?
Says it's news time. What the hell does that mean? What is news time?
We're going to do the news after this break.
Yeah, play your little tape.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Oh, isn't that exciting? Fantastic.
We think it is.
What's that the thing you're doing next on the show?
The news.
Yeah. Is that what you do?
I do that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope it goes down in flames.
Thank you, Mr.
So long and pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Oh, my goodness, it's like a puzzle. But what is the answer to the puzzle?
The stars of Quest for Fire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, it's official.
Yes?
Yeah.
I am a carrier.
Oh.
Just got a call from my lady a little while ago. Carla, I want to say I wish you the best. She's on her way to the doctor with a 102 temperature.
Oh, dear.
102.3 to be exact. And hi, I'm to blame. But I never had that kind of fever.
Well, even if you're not to blame, you're to blame.
Of course, that's the way it's going to go, but I do hope she feels better.
Well, here's the good news.
What is the good news, Rob? I need some good news.
Now you're feeling a little better?
I am.
You can nurse her to better health.
Right.
You're going to be sore tomorrow, though.
Looking forward to that. Yes, boy, they be sore. That's Buzz Burbank. He's here all week, and he's here right now with the news.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. This is a big story, I think, because of the sheer number of people it affects. Not everybody starts their day with coffee. Elton John, Victoria Beckham, Bill Clinton, and myself begin our days with diet sodas, along with a lot of other people.
I don't drink coffee.
No, you drink. What's your first beverage in the morning?
Usually, I'll have something like a diet iced tea.
I stumble out of bed and race for the refrigerator for a diet soda.
Okay, yeah. And so I think a lot of people are the same way.
The same purpose as a coffee.
For a lot of us, it does. Now, quoting 29-year-old Amanda Sanchez, it's my water. It keeps me going. It's the fluid that keeps me alive. I really think I'm addicted. I really think it would be very hard for me to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband says at their house, diet soda is considered a food group. Amanda drinks a dozen cans a day of Diet Coke. I may come close to that mark myself.
It is not really supposed to be that good for you.
That's
even though,
where we're going with this, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
In all the excitement, I kind of lost track of how many sodas I've had. She speaks for a lot of us, Amanda does, when she says, I really like the fizzy. I like the coldness and the taste. If anything goes wrong, I'll just grab a diet soda and it's all better.
Do you like the fizzy?
You know what he's going to do now, Rob.
Oh, I know exactly what he's going to do.
You know what's coming.
I don't want to alarm anyone.
Oh, here we go. What is it now? I'm starting to get ready to kill you because every week you're telling me what's going to kill me.
I'm just passing along.
He drinks 12 sodas a day.
Last week it was a multivitamin, right?
I'm all hyped up on soda. Don't pay any attention to
Didn't you say last week multivitamins can kill?
There was a report from somebody, I don't even remember who, in a Mayo Clinic, somebody said that too many multivitamins in men can give you prostate cancer.
Oh, no!
Yeah, exactly. That was my reaction.
All right, what is it about diet soda?
Doctors are concerned. Quoting Dr. David Katz, nutrition expert at the Yale School of Medicine, there's evidence the acid of soda, regular or diet, has an adverse effect on bone health. If you're drinking 12 cans a day, it's potentially going to damage your skeleton, and eventually that can be a very serious problem, end quote.
I don't give a rat's ass if my skeleton is damaged.
Well, you should.
Why?
You will?
Because when you get to be about 60... and you stumble on a crack on the sidewalk, and you bust your femur, it's going to suck.
It's always the femur.
He's not going to make it to 60. quoting a spokesman for Coke, how could you drink too much?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda says she's going to cut back, first down to 8 a day, then 4, then just water. Godspeed, Amanda Sanchez.
And I'm taking back that whole thing, that American Idol thing with that ad campaign they have when they say, thank you for drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're not welcome. after that, this past weekend in Atlantic City, I will say you are not welcome.
Yeah. Well,
do you caffeine up at all? Does your diet tea have caffeine?
I would assume so. I don't even look at it. I just know that I try to cut down on Diet Cokes and all that, because I think that if you load up on enough of those, Buzz will tell you that you get a pretty good caffeine high out of
it.
Oh,
yeah.
I used to be a really bad caffeine junkie. Like, if I didn't have any by 20 or 30 minutes after being up,
mm-hmm.
I get the splitting headache, the whole deal.
Withdrawal.
So what I would start doing is I would get up in the morning and take two Excedrin right away.
And that's pure caffeine.
Yeah,
right?
But now, luckily, since my stomach blew up, I'm off caffeine.
If you want the hangover cure that I got on the weekend, they say right before bed, two Tylenol, two Excedrin, and all the water you can stand before you go to bed.
It makes sense. A hangover is really just dehydration.
The aspirin and the water are doing the most good in that cocktail.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, and guys, if you're concerned about what all that cell phone radiation is doing to your man parts, there's a product just for you. A Swiss firm has developed underwear for men to protect the family jewels from cell phone radiation. Whether or not the radiation actually does any harm is still being studied, but better safe than sorry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Isa Bodywear has just come out with a new line of briefs that at $24 a pair block those cell phone rays.
How many bars do you get, though?
That tinfoil hat for down there. Some schools in England are a brief visit by the cricket.
I like it when they just duck in and duck out.
They've got things to do.
Still has the same impact, doesn't it? Some schools in England are rethinking their policy on Wi-Fi out of concern about wireless internet radiation and the effect it may have on young children.
Internet.
Wi-Fi gives off three times as much of that radiation as a cell phone antenna. And Britain's top health officials warning schools not to put their Wi-Fi antennas anywhere near the kids. He's worried about the Wi-Fi connected laptops on the children's laps as well. Chairman of England's Health Protection Agency says more research needs to be done, and he says the sooner the better.
Don't point them at your balls.
But I'm not all.
Don't point the Wi-Fi at my balls.
Not all gloom and doom. There's no longer what?
No, go ahead.
There's no longer any reason. This is the good news. No longer any reason to fear Pamela Anderson.
Really?
We appear to have found a cure for hepatitis C.
Now, which is the bad one?
That's the bad one right there. Hepatitis
C. They're all pretty good.
None of them are great.
Now, is it A, B, and C?
There are an A, B, and C hepatitis.
I'm asking Buzz like he's a real doctor, like he can answer these questions.
Let me see your lab coat, sir.
What's the one the jug girl had? Was that C also?
You're talking about Pamela Anderson?
No, you had the Winona and Naomi Judd, the Judd.
Oh, the Judd.
The mom had one of those hepatitis.
I believe
hepatitis.
Also hepatitis C in her case.
C's the one that can really mess you up. Right.
Women are the only one that can have the C, right?
No, actually anyone can get it.
Always hated hepatitis C.
Makes you bad, right?
Bad. It's a bad disease.
Actually kills more people than AIDS, not to mention causing liver cancer and cirrhosis. Now, scientists at Virginia Commonwealth University are testing VCU.
Hey!
But you know
they
people there?
They did something. I'm a graduate.
That's Rob's alma mater.
Class of 93, when they were still accredited.
I'm going to need to see papers on that.
Me too.
Scientists at VCU testing a drug called Pegasus. It appears to have cured over 99% of the 1,000-plus people who took it. Mm-hmm. It's a drug that's already been approved by the FDA for other treatments. And there's more good news about Hep C. Fewer of us are getting it, with one-tenth the number of cases we saw in the 80s.
The only thing that came out of Rob's class is like a new technique in puppeteering. That's what they, in the theater department.
Let's speak to a graduate of VCU. Right?
Duh.
Thank you.
The FDA's also approved a diabetes drug called Avandia, and dozens of studies now show it apparently increases the risk of heart attack and death.
Oh, no.
Yeah, diabetics already have a greater risk of heart trouble. Worldwide, 6 million people take Avandia. About 1 million Americans take it.
This is a huge story
of
the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been talking about this, and I'm thinking, when you're talking about a lot of people that have this type of diabetes
right.
that this medication is for, mm-hmm. talk about people that are tremendously overweight, right?
Right.
And, I mean, that kind of brings on the diabetes. And
exactly, and they already have a strain on their heart.
So they've got a strain on their heart already, so that's
right.
just... You know, these studies that we hear day in, day out, you got to wonder, well, did you allow for the fact that these people were...
It's been on the market for 8 years. The FDA approved it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's looking a lot like the Vioxx mess all over again.
What's it called again?
It's called Avandia.
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 You can make it safe. Just always store it on the bottom shelf. They'll never go get it.
They won't bend.
Safe from diabetics. But at the time being, though, the FDA is standing by its approval of Avandia, and the company says its studies do not confirm any increased risk. Now, you would think that if President Bush were to put himself in charge of everything, it would have been in the newspaper. Well, he did, and it wasn't. Remember the three branches of government? Well, if the U.S. were to suffer a catastrophic attack, this president or his successors would now become all three branches. A couple of weeks ago, Mr. Bush signed a new National Security Presidential Directive. In it, he has given the power to ensure a constitutional government on his own.
Wait. I mean, isn't there a process you have to go through?
No, they just put the directive on your desk and you sign it.
So, wait a minute.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
That's what happened here.
I'm not a bright man, Buzz.
No, it's okay.
I'll
do the best I can.
You've got a presidential directive, but are there certain, when you're talking about the basic structure of government,
right?
You can't modify that with just a directive.
No, he would oversee all three branches of government under this directive.
So is this sort of the gray area, like a national emergency type deal?
Exactly. Yeah. Or even a natural disaster, for example. And the White House released this actually on May 9th, but there's really been no talk of it in the media, so I thought we ought to mention it today.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, the only thing I can tell you is that when I speak, I'm very conscious about the audiences that are listening to my words.
In charge.
Under the directive, situations like 9/11 or Hurricane Katrina would be all he needs to use that authority. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, God.
It's too late to change your reservation, so if you're flying through Chicago's O'Hare Airport this weekend, be forewarned. O'Hare will be the world's busiest airport this weekend by a wide margin. A record number of people will pass through O'Hare this weekend, especially Friday and Monday.
Where are they going?
Well, back and forth across the country. It's a big Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, that's right.
They're mostly flying to Ocean City.
Holiday. It's a big holiday.
Sunday will be the least crowded day. Also, remember, it's the Midwest at the beginning of the summer, so any thunderstorms will make this an even bigger mess. Mm. Tomorrow, the FAA plans to announce a plan to streamline summer vacation travel.
Yeah, that ought to work.
We'll keep you posted.
We'll stick to that plan.
There may be more good news for flyers in the form of a little blue pill.
Ooh.
At the risk of boosting membership in the Mile High Club, we announce Viagra appears to help fight jet lag. University scientists in Argentina say it works in hamsters. They didn't move the hamsters.
No, look out!
Didn't move them to different time zones. They simulated that by using light to mess with the hamsters' body clocks. The hamsters on Viagra, and that, by the way, is the name of my new band, Hamsters on Viagra. The hamsters on Viagra adjusted to time changes 50% more often than the ones without it. But it only takes a fraction of the usual dose of Viagra to beat jet lag, so you wouldn't have to take enough Viagra to do the other thing that it's good for.
And all these hamsters seem to have five legs.
And none of them can get on the wheel.
There he had it. Give it to him. Why not?
All right. And it's like some kind of curse has befallen XM Satellite Radio, the latest befallment when we return.
Very good, Buzz.
We'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They will make you sacramental. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
On the show tomorrow, some of us will be discussing American Idol. I don't think I'm going to be one of them, though.
Wow. We'll see.
I'm going to look in to see what her eyes look like, or her nose, or if there's any bruising or puppiness. Otherwise, I don't think it. And we know you're not going to look in on it, right, Buzz?
You know, I'm going to try to look in tonight, because I want to see what a woman looks like after she's tripped over her chihuahua.
Okay, so you'll look
come
in
over
for
to
the
my
same
house.
Reason I will. I just am not motivated. They let go of my lady Melinda last week, and I am still pissed off about that. And I will be very curious to see about the ratings for the show.
Yes.
They're all talking about it. Yeah. A very significant couple of shows this week.
Very important. And I've even heard talk that tonight's ratings for Idol could be important numbers for the entire reality TV show industry. Everybody's watching tonight's numbers. With Paula's broken nose, maybe they'll have more viewers.
Oh, that's right. They might because of that.
And I'm not sure she broke her nose. I think
maybe
it could be a ploy.
Yeah, maybe the whole broken nose thing is a scam.
Oh, wouldn't we be angry about that?
That's like me saying, you know what? This weekend, I forgot to tell you, I learned how to fly. Can't do it right now, but I know how to fly.
Maybe the whole thing is fixed.
Because they said there would be no evidence or visible evidence that she'd broken her nose.
Also tomorrow on the show, maybe more ideas that we can generate to formulate the internship of Matt the Pole.
And also later this week, Pixie, the world's most unlucky woman.
Rob is working on an interview.
Sounds exciting.
I happen to see a lovely photograph of Pixie, and I think we're going to have a lovely conversation with her later this week.
Can't wait.
But let's get the news now with Mr. Buzz Burbank.
Thanks, Mike. As I said, it's like a dark cloud hanging over XM Satellite Radio this week. Service outages were reported around the country yesterday and again into today. XM blames software problems and was expecting the problem to be fixed overnight. Mine was working this morning.
As was mine.
Some frustrated subscribers, however, were this morning wondering about canceling their subscriptions online. XM's already suffered a bit of that with its suspension of Opie and Anthony.
Well, I wish I could care about XM, but you know what I care about? My Comcast cable in Manassas, please.
We have XM in the studio. You want me to tune it in and see if it's working?
Yeah, no problem, Rob. Let's do this.
Sounds pretty clear.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of those dreamy scenes.
The extreme Regis channel.
You found a reason.
Told you I would.
Yes, clear as a bell.
Oh, if you're ever a victim of identity theft, the Bank of America is right behind you with a lawsuit. Bank of America has no comment on this, so we'll just have to fill in the blank. Shop NBC, QVC, and the Home Shopping Network. Gloria filed a police report. She filed an affidavit of fraud. And then the bank sued her. Bank of America says Gloria overdrew her account by $23,000. Quoting Gloria, what kind of bank would allow an overdraft of $23,000?
Now, so you're saying that she got somebody to steal her identity, they paid directly out of her bank account, and now the bank is suing her, saying right. that she's responsible
whoever,
for it.
Yeah, whoever stole her identity then emptied her bank accounts and continued to spend, making her overdrawn to the tune of $23,000. Now the bank is suing her for the money.
Oh,
or she says her money's gone.
That's not nice.
Well, she doesn't have any money. They won't get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad business.
Very bad business.
And now that the Chinese appear to have finished poisoning our pet food, they've moved on to poisoning the people of Panama. Toothpaste, including children's toothpaste, exported to, from China to Latin America, is apparently contaminated with a chemical similar to antifreeze. In the Dominican Republic, 36,000 tubes were seized before they were squeezed. Investigators in China have
you
already...
You read that one yourself?
Yeah, I did. You're
seized right. before they were squeezed?
Yeah, I couldn't help myself. Investigators in China have already closed at least one factory over this. No tainted toothpaste from China has been found in the U.S. yet.
Mm-hmm. Real baby with plastic eyes.
The FDA says it's looking. Hard. Well, with contaminated toothpaste.
I just got a call from Carla here, and I wanted to
hope
check
she's okay. Her. Driving to the hospital.
Oh, that was
with
Carla's mom calling. Her mom's
oh.
with her. So,
you're in trouble.
Everything's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll call after the show's over.
Good luck.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
Now, China has its own internal problems. The population, for instance, China has the biggest. The Chinese government has population control measures in place, including big fines for having too many children. The Chinese government enforces these measures, or tries to, and therein lies the problem.
What we do is we try to poison all the kids with toothpaste.
Over the last few days in southwestern China, villagers have battled in the streets with riot police over the subject of population control. Three population officials were reportedly killed in those battles.
Would that be like birth control?
Yeah, very much so, except when we say population control in China, we're not just talking about birth control. We're talking about the fines for having too many children, which are very steep and unaffordable, obviously, for
okay.
poor families.
You're
gotcha.
Allowed to have two, right?
Yeah, that's the limit, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be controls on boys versus girls as well. I'm not entirely certain, but they have a lot of rules and a lot of laws under this population control umbrella.
Okay.
Now, the villagers have also rioted recently, not only about population control, but other issues including pollution, government corruption, and the widening gap between rich and poor.
Yeah, keep sending your toothpaste over here, then.
It's a little crowded over there.
Still like their food.
Yeah. But you know what, Rob? Their food's made mostly by Americans.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think so, really.
Because yeah, Americans make hamburgers.
No, you know our buddy over there? It's like, hi, welcome, how are you?
It's nice to see you. Would you like a leek?
Yes, here's a lychee nut.
Well, now that it's warmer, people are dressing more casually at the office. So what's acceptable and what's not?
Joe! It's always casual Friday around here.
King of casual. Monster.com asked American workers what's appropriate at the office and what isn't, and these are the answers. Only 29% of us think that it's a bad idea to wear flip-flops to the office.
Mike.
Which means...
I don't wear them very often. I wore them today. These are my six shoes.
Only 29% of the people object, which means two-thirds of us think it's okay to wear flip-flops to the office.
You take a poll around here, we could come in bathrobes.
Yeah.
We ought to have a bathrobe day. Maybe. How gay would that be?
Pretty gay.
Pretty gay. That was a gay suggestion.
In other words, just perfect for
Daddy's
us.
Daddy's tired.
Only 8% of us think it's not okay to wear shorts, so apparently 92% of us think it is okay to wear shorts to work.
Sure.
55% of us are against tank tops at the office. That means 45%, men probably, think it's quite all right to wear tank tops to the office.
Yeah, but I still like my bottom-feeding lawyers to wear the outfits, man. You know, I mean,
oh,
you have to deal with legal matters.
Lawyers, sure.
You really want to see your lawyers in the suit.
You don't want your lawyer in a tank top and flip-flops.
Absolutely not.
But while you're talking about shorts and tank tops, I hope the ladies on Main Street are listening. In the Fairfax offices of WJM.
Oh, yes.
Don't stop.
Oh, they're flawless in their fashion, Rob.
Yeah.
The survey also turned up complaints about coworkers' dress, including Hawaiian shirts, shirts unbuttoned too far, short skirts, crop tops, and tight clothing.
Can you still wear Hawaiian shirts on Fridays?
Yes, yes, you can.
And is this the second day in a row you've gotten something in about the ladies on Main Street?
Perhaps.
Somebody hurt him over there.
He's focused.
Perhaps someone in sales.
Oh, yeah. I know who she is.
I love her.
In sports, American football didn't even make the list in the survey of the world's most popular sports, but then soccer isn't the world's biggest sport either. Hockey did make the top 10 with 3 million players worldwide. 50 million people, however, are into boat racing. 200 million people are into badminton.
Oh,
and table tennis has 300 million players
fans. Is this participants or spectators?
Both. Participants and spectators worldwide.
Badminton?
Badminton is way up there at 200 million people. Table tennis, 300 million people. See China's story above.
All right. Yeah, really.
Baseball is actually the sixth most popular sport for people to play in the world. And the number one played sport? Volleyball, with nearly 1 billion players worldwide.
Yeah, that doesn't coincide with TV ratings.
But
hate volleyball.
The newest sport is helmet boxing. Kids put on helmets and boxing gloves and then beat each other over the head until one of them passes out. To their credit, they use face masks.
Okay.
You can find inspiring videos of this on YouTube. One kid in New York says he heard about it from a friend on a hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
His parents have witnessed this and have given their boy permission to continue helmet boxing.
What could possibly go wrong?
They figure the helmet should protect him. Mm-hmm. Doctors warn, sure, it's fun till somebody loses an eye, or in the case of one kid, has to get 10 stitches on his chin.
Yeah, it'll make him tougher.
And finally, a consumer warning. If you see an adult video starring Katie Holmes, just know it's not the one married to Tom Cruise.
Oh.
This blonde, blue-eyed, alleged virgin is launching her porn career and upsetting the dickens out of the real actress's publicist.
Is it a real name?
No. She changed her name to that. It's kind of a tribute, according to the porn star's publicist. A tribute to Tom's wife, which she says she's admired since Mrs. Cruise's days on Dawson's Creek.
And what better way to show you admire her than making her into a porn star?
And we leave you with this thought about Jessica Simpson. She's coming out with her own line of lingerie this fall.
Hello.
Jessica Simpson reportedly created the line after becoming frustrated with bra shopping because the selection was so limited for the larger cup sizes.
Hello, baby.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. That's it. We got to get out of here. It is time to go. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping sick me today. I do appreciate that. Good day to you, sir.
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 And, Rob, we do have to get out of here. Any parting words for the women on 7800 Main Street?
You know where I'll see them.
Where?
Way down yonder in New Orleans.
That's it. We got to get out of there. So long, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.